is I didn't bicycle.
No, I didn't bicycle. Get off my back.
You didn't bicycle
at night? No, I didn't bicycle yesterday either. The only difference between you and me is when I walk in and I don't have bicycle, everybody gives me the stink eye. I do the long trudge of shame down the KU Hall hallway by Becca, who sits there and glares at me like I spent the morning drowning kittens in a lake. Thanks for that. Thanks so much.
Well, I have a good excuse. It was raining when I left. And I was really just going to drive because I was purely lazy. But then it started raining. I'm like,
thanks, God. Yeah, I don't have a good excuse. Not one good excuse at all. And I walk in, and I feel like a... What's that episode of Seinfeld where... I forget what leads up to it, but where Jerry's talking to Kramer, and Kramer does the classic line of, "Look away, I'm hideous!" I forget why. He looks like a cigar store Indian, though. It's like he started smoking cigars, I think. And he's just covered.
Kramer?
Yeah, it's like he's just... It's like he's got some weird bad tan or something going on. Yeah, that's totally what it is. But he just looks like he's made out of mahogany. And Jerry's trying to talk it. And Kramer does that great, "Look away, I'm hideous!" That's totally what I feel like when I walk in the morning. Walking down the hallway just like... Just like Count Rugen and the Princess Bride, dear God, what is that thing? No, I didn't bicycle today. I didn't bicycle yesterday either. I bicycled Monday and Tuesday, so tomorrow's the make or break day. Right now I'm at 40%. Tomorrow is the day that tips the scales either toward the retarded or again them, as they say. We played the Independence Day speech for the people who
are... Less than an hour.
It's like an aural shock collar is what it is. That's what it is. It's like some sort of auditory punishment button that you press.
How is Bill Pullman a punishment? He's a gift. Acting talent is a blessing in this land.
I want to know how Bill Pullman is... I want to know why Bill Pullman is a movie star and nobody in this room is. That's what I want to know. That just doesn't seem right.
Any thoughts? Most days I agree with you, but Bill Pullman, well,
I'm sorry.
He was quite charming in While You Were Sleeping.
Okay. Whatever you say. Is that Ricky Lake? It's in that movie?
No, Sandra Bullock.
What was Ricky
and
Lake?
Peter Gallagher.
I'm thinking of Mrs. Winterbourne.
I
don't know why I'm thinking of Mrs. Winterbourne.
I worked on that movie. That was
Mrs. Winterbourne?
Did you meet Ricky Lake?
No, I didn't. I was on the promotion.
You were on the advanced team.
Yeah. We had a hard time filling those seats.
Please? Come on. Oh, come on. Don't you want to see a free movie? Hello? Instead of, like, walking away from you in the food court.
It's Ricky Lake.
Yeah. That's a big selling point to everybody.
And that was about the same time as we couldn't fill up the seats for Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
Up your Periscope or whatever.
Oh, yeah. That was
that
right
was
around
the same time.
Up Periscope. Now, was Kelsey Grammer also in the hideous McHale's Navy remake? Because, you know, they remade McHale's Navy. That was Tom Arnold.
That was Tom Arnold.
Yeah. Up Periscope. I forgot all about that.
Oh, I'd rather forget that one.
You know, I don't mean to... We have many people who are associated with this program. I, myself, have done a little bit of acting. We have a lot of people out there in our community. As a spokesperson for the community, let me say. We know a lot of people who work in movies or film or TV or have or, you know, whatever. So I don't mean to knock people who are actors and who are actually good at that. But if you ever want further proof, just sort of definitive evidence that it really is just a big crapshoot, that it's just all about luck, then you need only look at Up Periscope with Kelsey Grammer. Because you think about it, he played Dr. Frazier. You realize he played Frazier Crane for like 23 years? Because he played him on Cheers for 12 years, and then he played him on Frasier for, I think, 10. He played Frasier Crane for more than two decades. And, you know, people say, well, he's a very gifted comedian. It's a very intellectual type of humor. It's a very delicate touch that he has. Sort of a highbrow kind of comedic styling. And then he does Up Periscope. And nothing else that you can remember. Nothing else of any quality at all. It is just tripping and falling into something that's either a mud hole or a stream of gold. That's what the entertainment industry is. It doesn't matter how talented you are. It is all mere luck. Mere luck or having somebody work for you who picks really good projects. That's what it's all about, man. All right. Well, in any event, what am I doing? Oh, it's 7 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11, and this is the month of June in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day, live from the blushfully appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friend, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. Most wooden moment in that entire speech, by the way, that Bill Pullman gives in Independence Day. The worst moment is when he says,
In less than an hour.
The worst moment is when...
That we will not lay down and whatever.
It's near that. It's when he... No, it's when he shifts into the... We're going to live on! Like it just... Never before and never again in movies has anybody sounded so much like they're just reading something off a big cue card in front of them. It's so great.
But the music's awesome because it has that big build-up right there.
Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution. But from annihilation.
That's a good score right
there. Yeah,
sure.
Fighting for our right to live.
Right up there with a scene from A Summer Place.
The one where he says that we will not go quietly into the night. That's the worst thing ever.
Of a good speech, Sarah, because it rhymes. Really, that's what all speeches have to do. Not enough political speeches rhyme now.
Better than anything Bush can do.
That really is true. I'm sorry. I really have to retract all of my comments about Bill Pullman. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. People have asked why we continue to play this. A, because if we play it every day, which does seem to be the trend on the show, eventually it'll be relevant. Eventually it'll be the 4th of July, and we will be playing the Independence
Day. We are playing it, yes, because the 4th of July is in less than a week.
See, now it looks like a build-up. Secondly, it's because I failed to get a movie speech together. And look, I don't mean any disrespect to the people who have been sending me movie speeches, because we had what I still think is a great idea of starting each day's show with a different film speech. So it is a fine idea. It's just that I haven't gotten off my lazy ass and gotten it together. And so people have started sending me stuff. But there is, I think it's very indicative of the audience we have here, that it's a lot of dudes sending me sports film speeches, which are fine. There's nothing wrong with a speech in a sports film. I'm not a big sports fan, but I love movies about sports. But sports speeches are always kind of sad. They're always sort of buzzkills, because whenever there's a speech in a sports film, it's always because one of two things. The team is getting its ass beaten, and it's halftime, and this is the last game of the season, or the last game that they're ever going to play. And it's time to just get out there, and I don't want you to think about the scores. I don't want you to think about the rest of your life. I don't want your life. It's always halftime on the final game, like their senior year, and they're never going to play again in their lives, so they got to go out and win this one for the zipper or whatever. There's that, or someone on the team has just died or been paralyzed. And it's always a lot of like...
Is it because of the roid?
Yeah, totally. I want you to think about, and then like point to like guys sitting in the locker room. I want you to think about him. I want you to go out there, and I want you to play for that man right there, who would give anything to be on the field with you today. The only time that speech has ever been done well is in Friday Night Lights. That's the only time it's ever been done well. Every time that somebody tries to do that speech, it just makes my skin crawl. Oh, and Brian's song. It works in Brian's song, but Brian's song is its own kind of category. Anyway, so quit sending me sports. God, Aaron, who excerpted out and sent me the whole, the Rocky thing. I didn't want to be in the bump in the neighborhood. Why would I play that at the beginning of the program?
He sent me all of those, too.
Let me just see if I can surgically extract all the momentum and energy from the beginning of the show.
I don't want to go the distance with Creed.
It does build momentum.
I'm never playing the Rocky speech, Aaron. Quit sending it to me. It's never going to get played.
I don't know within 10 rounds.
No. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Lots to get to today. We'll talk about Paris here in just a second. Let's see. Okay, but here's the big news for today. We got several, actually, patches of big news. I know we'll get these calls, because one of them is about fire ants and one's about Die Hard. And that, my friends, is how you relentlessly pander to the 18 to 44 male demographic. If I could do an entire show of just Die Hard and fire ants, we ought to do that someday. Someday, we ought to do a show where the whole point for all 4 hours, I mean even more than regular, is to just pander to 18 to 44-year-old men. And every call must be something that panders to that demographic. That's a great idea for a show. I'm going to write this down. Pander show. We'll do that one of these days when I've overslept and don't have anything planned. What am I saying? Anyway, so the big news today is that Kyle Gass, not to be confused with Craig Gass. Craig Gass is the guy who did the Dead on Kinison impersonation and who was apparently voted off that ABC television impersonator show last night because his Pacino, like, wasn't quite good enough. So that guy's one of the best impersonators I've ever heard because impressionism is just the lowest form of comedy. He's great. So not to be confused with him, but Kyle Gass, who... That guy from Tenacious D.
The guy who's not Jack Black.
He's the guy who's not Jack Black. He's the Andrew Ridgely of the Tenacious D world. So Kyle Gass is going to be on the show today. Now, here's the thing. I respect Tenacious D and what they do, but I wasn't really like a fan in the sense that I didn't really watch it. I mean, I kind of get the deal, and it's funny, and you know, whatever. But I didn't really watch Tenacious D, and I don't know anything else Kyle Gass has ever done except for a scene in Almost Famous that was cut out. So I've seen that on the DVD. There's a section on the director's cut where you can see Kyle Gass playing a stoned-out radio DJ in the 70s. That's all that I know that Kyle Gass has done. So do we know what time Kyle Gass is going to be on the show today?
I don't. Thresher's supposed to call me sometime.
Is he going to be in studio or on the phone? Do we know?
On the phone. He's not doing any... He was maybe going to be in studio because he was going to do KUFO. Now he's not doing KUFO. But he's going to do our show.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's right.
Well, let's wait for Mike to call first.
No, I'm going
to
brag now. If they're listening, see, if somebody's listening now but doesn't listen later, this bragging will hold up. Okay, so at some point, I'll have to get Kyle Gass questions from the audience because I don't know what
he's done quite a few movies. He did The Pick of Destiny. That just came out.
That was the Tenacious D film, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea what to ask him, and I don't want to look like a tool.
Oh, my God, he was in Wild Hogs.
Of course he was. What's his name from Adult Swim, from Aqua Teen Hunger Force, that we were going to have on, and then that didn't happen, or it might still happen. And I know that dudes everywhere watch Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and it's just a thing. I mean, I've seen it a few times, but it's not a thing I watch religiously, but I know every guy who is between the ages of 18 and 40 watches that show. Every guy
I know
everywhere. And so at some point, I'll have to, like, get a crash course in that show, because I've seen it, just like I've seen C-Lab 2021, but not enough. Like, I couldn't...
That is one of the most hilarious shows I've ever seen.
Or, like, Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, somebody was talking about it. I mean, I've seen that show enough that I could talk about it, but I don't know that I could really put the grill to somebody about it. So, anyway, Kyle Gass probably sometime today. A high concept topic right there, which we may or may not get to. Let's see. Penis? Oh, no, I'm sorry, Paris. We'll talk about Paris Hilton. Lisa Goddard's going to be joining us. I guess the immigration bill got told to get bent. I guess Congress told everybody to go suck it. So the immigration bill is not going to be passing. So blah blah blah. What else? Well, I'd like to say that Jim Roop is going to be joining us today to talk about the Paris Hilton case, but CNN didn't really see any reason to have one of their correspondents, especially the one who's in Los Angeles and who was there yesterday at the Larry King Studios when the interview was happening. CNN didn't really see any point to have somebody available, and by somebody I mean Jim Roop. They didn't really see the point of having somebody available to talk about that. Because after all, why would CNN, the network that actually aired the interview with Paris Hilton, possibly want to have a reporter who was there at the interview weighing in with radio stations about that? Especially when you consider it's a speech that CNN know, they must know that they lucked into that. It wasn't even supposed to be Larry King. It was supposed to be, Barbara Walters. And it was going to be NBC. And then CNN just happened to luck into getting the Paris Hilton thing. And so they have decided just not to have Jim Roop available. Apparently, CNN doesn't see the promotional value in having a guy in Los Angeles who was there for the interview on talking about, you know, the biggest coup that CNN's gotten in, like, 5 years. Because why would you want to do that? All right. Well, whatever. Let's see. Maybe I'll have somebody on to talk about the fairness doctrine, which is going to affect, you know, talk radio stations across the country in the future at some point. Oh no. Apparently, that's not valuable either. That's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm sure lots of East Coast radio stations were allowed to talk to correspondents about these stories. Doesn't matter. We're in Portland. We're irrelevant. Not going to dwell. All right. Oh, and somebody has more Kyle Gass info. Okay, if you're on hold right now, if you're on the telephone, hang on. We'll get to you in just a second. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How are you today?
I'm doing very well today.
Are you? You seem rested. You didn't seem very rested yesterday.
Yesterday was just a bad day.
Yeah.
But then I made up for it by going home and watching 6 hours of Lost.
So are you done with season one?
Totally done with season one.
Yeah.
I'm 2 episodes in on season two. They just opened The Hatch.
Yeah, The Hatch is cool.
It was. It is. It's very. It's interesting the direction it's taking. There's some really creepy parts in that show.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting in my house watching it, and in the middle of the day, I was getting a little weirded out.
The Hatch is badass. I will say that on Lost. The Hatch is very cool. And then, And then season one, and then with the kid being...
Yeah, that's creepy, when the kid appears in the forest.
Yeah.
And I had to walk away for a second after that.
Yeah, there are moments on that show that are damn unnerving.
No, the others have just been introduced.
Right.
Yeah, and then Raul kept doing the thing, and he's like, did you get to that part? Oh, so you saw that, so that means you know that this already happened.
Quit telling me!
We actually got into an argument. I'm like, you've got to stop doing that to me. He's like, you're such a freak about the show. I'm like...
Well, you haven't watched it yet. That's why I respect your need not to be spoiled about the whole thing. Well, that's like me with the Harry Potter book. I'm saying that, like, you know, as soon as that Harry Potter book comes out, which I think is a Saturday at midnight, Saturday into Sunday, I'm going to buy it, I'm going to go home, and I'm not going to come to work. I'm not going to go anywhere. If it's not done on Monday, if I haven't finished it, I won't be here. I'm going to stay in my home, I'm going to order in food, and I'm going to disconnect my computer. I'm not answering the phone, I'm not turning on the television. Because I know that I'm going to open some email that's labeled, like, hot porn action, and it's going to be like,
Just put in the subject line like a jerk.
Totally. Harry dies on page 90. You know, thanks. Thanks so much. With a little embedded file, you know, in the email. Thanks. So I won't be doing that. All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
A jail crew is hit by a car driven by a man in his underwear.
Selfies. Yeah. Underwear? I'm sorry. No, I didn't. Never. Go ahead.
Neglected Gresham children are rescued from a hot car with the windows rolled up. From China with hate. 900,000 poison tubes of toothpaste are out there somewhere. Some were sold to hospitals, prisons, and homes for the mentally ill.
The Spice Girls are reunite.
Yeah! Paris Hilton should not do any more hour-long interviews. Lindsay Lohan had cocaine in her system during her Beverly Hills crack-up over Memorial Day weekend. And hard to believe, but some problems with the iPhone have already been discovered.
Yes, they have, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just tell you one thing. I don't want to list, I know that this is, I'm just going to say this right now.
Okay.
I know it sounds a lot like I'm just inordinately anti-iPhone. I am not. We live in a capitalist culture. People can buy whatever they like. Steve Jobs is free to foist whatever he wants onto the American public. The American public is free to either buy it or not. Let me just tell you this, though. I won't sit here and list all the things the iPhone doesn't do, things that it should do for a $600 price tag. I will say that there is one inexcusable thing about the iPhone, regardless of what anybody thinks about anything else having to do with that phone or Apple. The thing about the iPhone that doesn't make any sense to me is that the iPhone can't use an MP3 as a ringtone. You can't set one of your MP3s as a ringtone. Now, here's why that doesn't make sense. A, because I've had a phone for about a year and a half now that cost half the iPhone. It costs half of what the iPhone does, and I can use any MP3 in the world as a ringtone. Any MP3 out of my collection, anything I rip to an MP3, any MP3 I get of the internet, I can set that as a ringtone. The iPhone will not let you set an MP3 file or a WAV file or an audio file that you yourself has as a ringtone, meaning every time you want a ringtone, you have to buy like a 12-second clip from Singular for like $2.50 or whatever, which is probably why that's the case. But it's inexcusable when you consider the fact that the iPhone is an iPod! I mean, that's how Steve Jobs keeps marketing it, right? It's the best iPod ever. It happens to be a phone. It's an iPod, and yet you cannot set a song as a ringtone. That just doesn't make any sense
at
all.
That's pretty weird.
It's just strange. Well, unless you consider the fact that they know that that's $2.50, as Chris Rock's dad would say, $2.50 a ringtone that they're not going to be getting money-wise. So, all right. Well, anyway. Okay, let's get these calls, and we'll talk a little bit about Paris Hilton. Oh, and then we were talking about Outlaws last night. Enough's Enough, Bullet Boys, Brittany Fox, and Pale Rida, who I missed. Let's see here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. You saw Die Hard last night.
Hey, gotta go see Die Hard.
Now, I've heard some early reviews that said it was ass.
Well, it's Die Hard. Okay, it's not Shakespeare.
No. Stop right there.
For the male demographic, 18 to 44, which is your audience, it is spectacular.
Okay, let's stop right there. First of all, Die Hard, the original. Say whatever you want about Die Hard 2, Die Hard with a Vengeance. Die Hard, the original, is the greatest action film in the history of cinema. There is no action, and I'm not saying that to be kookily over the top. In terms of action films, Die Hard is the greatest action film of all time, period.
I would put this movie with Die Hard 1.
Except
the bad guy isn't as good.
And he can't even use his catchphrase.
Okay, well, what they did in this movie, okay, you can tell by seeing the cuts they made. They made it PG-13, but when it's released on DVD, they'll make it the R version because, and all the stuff that you want to see will be on the DVD version.
Well, that's just ridiculous. That just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I know, but they want a broader audience.
A broader audience. Have you ever seen a kid who had a problem getting into an R-rated movie, ever? Come on.
No.
Seriously.
But as far as action goes, and as far as John McClane, as far as everything goes, it is spectacular.
Is it a lot of CG, a lot of computer animation?
Oh, yeah.
See, that's the other thing. First Die Hard, and I don't say this is an old guy.
They didn't have CG in the first Die Hard.
I don't say this is an old guy. I say this is a guy, a fan of film, who thinks CG still looks fake. You watch Lord of the Rings, for example. You watch Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Watch Lord of the Rings, any of them, and then watch it back-to-back with, like, Attack of the Clones or Revenge of the Sith. You know, Star Wars 1, 2, or 3. Those movies were made at around the same time. Lord of the Rings looks infinitely better. You know why? Very little CG. Almost all of that stuff is miniatures and models.
Yeah.
CG looks fake. That's why Die Hard is so great, because there's no computer-generated animation.
This was very well done CG. I mean, it doesn't look fake at all.
If it was well done, you wouldn't know it was CG. That's how I know it's not well done.
You know it's got to be CG, because they can't blow up an entire state and not have a CG.
I'm just saying, it seems to me like with most CG, if you know that it's CG, it has failed. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, but you have to know it's CG because of the circumstances in which they're showing
it. Unless they're showing the planet blowing up or something.
Well, they have an explosion in this that the planet almost blows up, so it's got to be CG.
I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know.
Okay, well, anyway, it is, go see it. It is by far, except for the bad guy, I would say it is equal to number one.
Oh, you have no idea what a bold statement that is. All right, okay, fine. All right, thank you.
The whole problem is the bad guy in it, and he gets better as he goes, and towards the end, he's a really good bad guy.
The bad guy played by...
That really hot dude
What's his name? It's the guy that I always think is Michael Biehn, but he's not. He's Michael Biehn, but he's like Michael Biehn minus 20 years. So what the hell is his
name? Pretty much. The problem with the bad guy in the other Die Hard movies.
Woman. Yeah.
In the other Die Hard movies, the bad guy is introduced a little later.
Oh my God, we know.
In the movie.
Yeah, okay.
No, the bad guy doesn't suck. In this movie, he's introduced a little too soon.
We have to be done with this call. It's giving me cancer.
Okay.
All right, thank you, sir.
Good day.
Bye now. Seriously, I was getting tumors from that call. Tom, what the hell is that guy's name?
I found him.
Not Thomas Jane.
I just saw him in this crappy movie on the plane, Catch and Release, with Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, he looks just like Michael Biehn of Terminator fame, but I can't remember his name, but he's younger. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, a couple things. The freedom speech from Braveheart.
They will never take our freedom! Yeah, okay, that's good.
Terrible speech. Another thing, the fire ants in Texas where they're having all the flooding.
Yeah.
When the mountain gets full of water, they make a big island of fire ants around the queen and float around. The problem they're having is that people are walking around in the water in the dark, and the fire ant mounds, and they bump up against them, they think they're higher ground.
Oh, let me just stand right on top of this fire ant mound.
Yeah,
oh, fantastic. God bless you, sir. I love fire ant calls. That's a great call. Thank you.
And if you want to appeal to the 18 to 44, just be quiet and let Sarah talk for 4 hours. Bye.
Ding. All right, thank you. Have Lisa Goddard talk about Rush.
It's Timothy Oliphant.
Tim Oliphant, that's his name.
He is beautiful.
He's a good-looking man.
Oh,
and,
he is.
When I saw him on Dinner for Five, which is that John Favreau show on Bravo? No, IFC. You watch Dinner for Five?
Mm-mm.
Dinner for Five is the best show ever. It's the greatest show. It's Jon Favreau and four actors or people from movies or TV. And literally, it's just a half an hour of them having dinner at some Hollywood restaurant and just talking about working in a business. Very casual. Did you ever watch that show that Joni and I did, the Rock Roundtable show?
No.
Okay, because we stole our concept from that. But
I watched that.
Yeah, it's Jon Favreau and like four guys. It would be like Jon Favreau and let's say like... whatever, like Tim Oliphant and, Henry Rollins and a guy from, like, you know, This is Spinal Tap and then, like, a dude from The Simpsons. And then they would all just sit there and have dinner for half an hour and they would just talk about working in movies and TV. It's the best show. It's so casual and just very cool. But Tim Oliphant was on there, and then he had this big Wyatt Earp mustache going on. Full on, like, the huge Western mustache.
Well, he was on that HBO show. He was on...
Deadwood. That's just why he had that going. Deadwood's another show I've never seen that I got to watch. But, yeah, he's a good-looking man. He looks a lot like Michael Biehn from The Terminator. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Kyle Gass is in the background of a scene in Biodome.
He's an extra in Biodome?
Yeah, he's like in the back. It's like an early version of Tenacious D.
Oh, I'm writing this
down.
Jack
Black are like singing. They're like singing some hippie song about saving trees while the chicks are at some, you know, tree hugger festival.
I am totally writing this down. That's genius. That's the first thing I'm going to ask him. All right, excellent. Thank you, sir.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Okay. Well, Scotty, these other calls, I got to talk about some stuff, and maybe we'll have time to get them in this segment. They might have to wait, though. I got to talk about last night, which was Enough's Enough, Britney Fox, Bullet Boys.
You sent me a hilarious text message, too.
I did. And let me just say this, first of all. Outlaws, and I'm not just saying this, because they're a sponsor. I mean, you know, we're bringing Vanilla Ice to town. We're presenting that show a week from this coming Saturday, 7707, which is going to be badass, by the way. I was in Susan Reynolds' office. Huge-ass pile of prizes. She's got, I mean, hundreds of things to give away. There's a massive pile of prizes to give away. 7707, there's going to be giveaways every 7 minutes. Of course, Vanilla Ice, a bunch of other acts going on. It's going to be 7707, which is Saturday the 7th, at Outlaws, outlawsmusichall.com. So more information on that coming, and I'll let you know if/when we're going to be talking to Vanilla Ice, which might happen, which is going to be really cool. They've remodeled that place even since I was there last, which I think was for L.A. Guns. It's a lot bigger now, and they have a massive rhinestone-covered cowboy hat. They don't have a disco ball. It does exactly what a disco ball would do. It's down from a chain, and it rotates, and it's covered with, like, mirrors, but it's a huge cowboy hat covered in disco ball mirror. It's fantastic. It's the best thing you've ever seen. So we go last night. I miss Pale Rider. Don't even get me started on this. I was stuck behind a train for 35 minutes last night. 35 minutes.
That happened to me the other night when we were getting off I-84.
Oh, God, F me. I was on front trying to get to the Burnside Bridge. And you come around a slow corner, and you're like, everybody seems to be stopped. No! You know, and then there's a train stopped. Not backing up, not going forward. A train stopped. And, of course, that road has a huge cement divider down the middle. And so you can't turn around. There's no U-turn. You can't back up, and there's cars behind me. So I'm stuck there. There is not even an illegal way to get out. Stuck there from like 9:45 to like 10:20 for this train. So I missed, I missed most of Enough's Enough, which sucks, because I was interested in seeing those guys. So I did the, I introduced Brittany Fox, and he'll be happy to know that I remembered my name this time. I did not go, I remembered my name, and I did the intro to, I introed Brittany Fox, who were great.
You were Eric Emerson?
No, I did not, but I have several observations to make about this. So I will say, Outlaws, that's a cool place, man, especially now that it's bigger, because, I shouldn't say that. No, never mind. No, I'm going to back up. No, it was an observation that's going to get me in trouble, so I'm not going to say it. No, it would be wrong. Now I'm just going to say that my hot neighbor works there, too. So, anyway.
Did you see her?
I was going to say, it's doubly great now. Because now my hot neighbor got a job there. So I can leer brazenly. What was I going to say? But it's a cool place. They've actually expanded. It's bigger. The stage is bigger. And so I have all these observations about it. It's a cool venue. It was just unbelievably loud. So I don't even know in what order to do these observations. I'll do them quickly, and then we'll break here, because we got Lisa Goddard coming up. But so let's see. Brittany Fox were great, and just, you have never seen a crowd. I mean, just every single downbeat. The lead singer was just so unbelievably into it. I mean, just every single downbeat was like the big fist pump and the big, you know, everything. And just, those guys were just fantastic. Crowd loved them. But the most, it was hard for me to even pay attention to Brittany Fox for part of it, because there's the general floor in front of the stage. And God love them, but the guys at Outlaws, you know, because we're there, being a sponsor of the show, and, you know, whatever. The guys at Outlaws have done this thing where, and Sarah, you know this, and I'm not trying to be falsely humble. I'm not trying to be like, you know, because it's not like I'm famous, but on the other hand, it is, you know, some
level.
Are you
saying the greatest day of my life is going to be on stage with Vanilla Ice?
I'm just saying that while you know, no one on the show is really famous as such, there's a certain level of profile that we have in, I guess, some segments of Portland. There's people who know who we are on some level. But, you know, that stuff like that kind of makes me uncomfortable. Like, I know you have no problem getting special treatment. You just roll around in that. You're just like, yeah, bring it on. Bring on the VIP seating and the free booze. And I always feel like such a dork. I can't do that. So not only did he have a little VIP seat for us, for, you know, station folks.
I didn't think that Outlaws was seated.
No, so they had to, well, they've expanded it, though. That's what I'm saying. So it's,
you had a special little Rick seat?
No. Here's the thing. And there's no way to describe this. So there's a big open floor area in front of the stage, not unlike at the Roselands. But then off in front of the soundboard, literally, there was a big raised platform with a single couch and a table there, entirely roped off with a huge sign that says, reserved. And the guy's like, Rick, here's a seat for you and your people.
Oh, my God.
It was like completely, it was great, but it just made me feel so awkward.
Oh, that's so weird.
It was like raised.
Do you think we get that for Vanilla Ice?
I don't know, man. It was raised like 3 feet above everybody else, a big plush couch on top of a raised platform, literally with a rope around it and a big sign that said reserved. And he's like, that's just for you and your people.
And like, do you have people?
No, I don't have people. You know who I had? Dave Zinn. Dave Zinn from the front desk.
Up on the couch?
Totally. No, I told Zinn, I'm like, Zinn, grab your friends. We got this couch. And he's like, hey, cause he goes, what? Where? And I go, we have this big plush couch over here that they reserved for us. And I said, I feel kind of awkward about it. And he's like, not me. And he just jumped right up on there and just immediately settled down and like leaned back and spread his legs like to Al Bundy style with a beer and was just like, and then he said something like, all hail to me, or, you know, something like, let them come and pay tribute. Like, he was totally into it. He had no problem. And so eventually, then I went up and sat down. And it was just so weird, though. I'm not trying to make it sound like I'm cooler than I am, but I mean, it was just,
I don't know if I'd actually been able to do that. It's right in front like that.
And it's like, everybody would walk by. Everybody who would come into the show. Because, of course, you want to know, like, who are these idiots and why do they have this reserve section? And so, I mean, wouldn't you think that if you're in a club and there's some roped-off area with a big couch and some guys sitting on there that you probably don't recognize, and you would think to yourself, like, who are these guys and why do they have this, like, this whole island that is raised up above the rest of the crowd, like, set aside right there? And so Zinn had no problem with it, though. He was just like, this is the life. I'll have to kick people out if they get too close. I'm like, all right, whatever. So he was totally into it. Let's see. What else? The Bullet Boys were great, were fantastic. That guy, Mark Torian, who called me Eric yesterday, wore exactly the same outfit he wore the last time we saw him. That red and black stripe.
High?
Yeah, totally. He was high on life. He was enthusiastic. You tricked me. No, but somebody threw a full beer at him.
Oh, that sucks.
And hit him in the head. And it prompted a large tirade from him. I missed part of that because at a certain point I was just like, I have to get out of here. This volume is... Because I forgot my earplugs and I'm a big pussy. And it was just crushing my brain. So at a certain point I'm like, I have to get out of here for a while. And I missed the big speech. Zinn told me all about it. We'll get his recap of that later. Plus, we have to break, so I'll have to tell the story later. But there was the greatest... This is the greatest moment with Chip Zanuff from Enough's Enough last night. So we've got a break. We'll come back after this. 503-733-2970. Lisa Goddard on the way, the new news hour, and more. You stay right there. It's Rick Emerson. All very confusing. Hey, Scotty, what is what's the deal? Do we know the deal with that? Thank you. That's okay. You just let them know they can forget about Portland, you know, anytime they feel like it. Let them know that we're not really a state or anything. We don't have any electoral votes or anything out here. It's not like anybody needs to worry about us. CNN can just ignore us at will. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. If you want to email us, you can do that as well. My friends, my chums, my amigos, my companions, my compadres. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Yeah, Rick, that guy's name is Tim Oliphant. By the way, you must turn in your guy card for not watching Deadwood. I know Deadwood's a great show. I'm drooling all over myself. It's hot. I know Deadwood's a great show. Deadwood, and I say this a lot. I know that I do. Deadwood is one of my stock phrases because it's just a thing that I have to do, the thing I have to explain all the time. Deadwood's a great show, and it's not a show that I have consciously avoided. It's just a show. First of all, I don't even, was it on HBO or Showtime? I don't even know. But it was canceled regardless, so it didn't matter. I think it's on DVD now, but there's just not enough hours in the day. I did just now, and I don't have time to like trigger this whole conversation now because then it's going to eat up the rest of the hour, and I don't have to deal with Lisa Goddard, but we got the news hour in 15 minutes regardless, so blah da blah da blah. But I just finished The Wire. I just the other night finished watching The Wire season 4, which is unbelievable, nearly flawless. And it's a while before season 5 of The Wire, but even so, when The Wire comes back for season 5, that's it. It's the final season. And that's the, you know, that is the final season of The Wire. Is this Lisa or is this Laura Caviezel? It is? Okay. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. Why, hello there.
Well, hello.
Scotty, what does that message mean that you've just typed on the screen? I'm sorry, Lisa, I don't mean to ignore you like this.
No,
I'm trying to interpret some note.
Anyway.
Yeah, Scotty has typed some note on the screen about CNN, but I'm trying to figure out what it means. He says, not kidding, comma.
He wants me to be a snitch.
I'm sorry? Never mind. Did you make some comment, perhaps, to Scotty that he is now trying to get onto the air via me?
Well, no, he asked me. He said, I think there was a little confusion. I didn't realize I was supposed to call in right now.
I see.
It was scheduled.
So it's not that you were late calling. It's that no one ever told you that you needed to call in.
That's right.
That's okay. We are on the West Coast. As I said earlier, it's not like we have people who live here, any electoral votes or anything. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
I will tell you, I am fully capable of dropping the ball. That will certainly happen in the future and has happened in the past. But I think it's been a really busy day. I just think nobody gave me the heads up on this one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's all.
That's okay. It's all right. You know what? And just because I respect you as a person and a journalist, I will not make you be witness to my laundry list of other observations about the various ball droppings today. Because you know what? It's not your place to be made uncomfortable by my haranguing.
Guy J gave me a little window.
Yes, it's okay. I mean, I'm gonna pull myself back.
I'm taunting you in. I'm practically begging you in. I know it's bad.
No, I'm just gonna look. Here's the only observation I'm gonna make. I understand that CNN, like many broadcasting properties, few people trying to do the work of many sometimes. Not enough cooks in the kitchen, actually. So I do understand that. That being said, this all started this morning when we were trying to book Roop to talk about Paris Hilton, because it's a big story. And because Paris Hilton's interview aired on Larry King, which, unless I am somehow, I don't know, insane, is on CNN. Which is a thing that CNN just sort of stumbled into. I mean, CNN television got really lucky with that, because first it was going to go to Barbara Walters, then NBC,
right.
Then it ended up on CNN. For good or bad, it's the biggest coup that CNN has had in some time. And so I called Lauren. We called Lauren. I said, "Hey, can we get Jim Roop about CNN?" And, no, he's not available for that today. And because why on earth would CNN want to have a reporter on to talk about the biggest broadcasting coup that they've had in like 2 years on the biggest story of the month? Why, you know, especially one that aired on their own network? Why on earth would they want to be able to, you know, to promote that? That's a thing you can just brush off.
I don't know. Well, I know that they did not send Jim to cover the fires in California because. I thought because of Paris Hilton, and instead they sent Steve Kastenbaum all the way from New York.
It's
because of Paris Hilton.
They did, because they actually said, well, you know, we can't actually give you Jim Roop on the biggest story in the country right now, which also concerned, you know, a program on our own network, but would you like to talk to Steve in New York about a fire that happened on the West Coast, or whatever? And I just said, no, thanks, you know? So anyway, I'm just saying, you dragged it out of me. I don't mean to be complaining as such. I'm just saying it simply seems like, from my vantage point, simply seems like poor management of promotional opportunities. That's my only observation about that.
Well, you know, okay, the only thing I'll say in defense is, you know, the communication industry, first of all, everyone knows the worst at communications. But I will say that there's been a lot of little craziness going on. We got a new website, and we are trying to keep it real. which is really a whole new thing.
I know, it's true. I know, keeping it real can tax one's resources.
Right.
Oh, God, all right. Well, whatever. Well, I mean, if you hadn't taunted me about that, if you hadn't baited me, I wouldn't have unleashed that. But there you go. So that's the deal. But enough about me. Let's talk about this immigration thing now. Correct me if I'm wrong. This was sort of happening this morning, and I was trying to get bits and pieces of it as I was getting ready to come on the air. But the immigration thing got hosed, right? They told those guys to get bent. Am I missing some subtlety to it, or?
Motion, actually, that passed on a be it resolved. It was something along those lines. This was a motion to try and end debate. This was a big test motion. They needed 60 votes. We talked about this yesterday. In the end, it just went down in flames. It got 46 votes.
Not even close.
53 senators voted against it. And so a majority of senators really voting against the idea of moving to the bill today, essentially voting against the bill. And it was funny because as you listen, it was going to be a close vote. They thought they were very close to 60. And so I was doing the vote count, and then all of a sudden you could hear there were just more and more no's popping up, and you could tell who the fence sitters were. A lot of them were seemed like they were going to vote in favor today, but then all of a sudden they all started reading the cards. People started jumping ships. People started changing votes. Once it realized this thing was going down, people did not want to be on board, and a lot of people jumped even in the middle of the vote.
And it becomes a self-perpetuating thing because nobody wants to be on the losing side of something that is as polarizing.
Exactly what happened.
As this. And, you know, that old cliche about success has 1,000 fathers and failures an orphan and blah, blah, blah. So nobody wants to be the last one holding the losing bag, as it were. I know that this is maybe an impossible-to-answer question, but if you could point to one factor that doomed this immigration bill, be it a section of the bill itself or be it something in the zeitgeist, whether it's talk radio, whether it's whatever, the word amnesty maybe. Was there a straw that broke this particular camel?
There were a couple. I think a lot of it was strategy from the opponents, who I think at the beginning were in the minority, but I think they really galvanized. They were so passionate, and I think the whole amnesty argument in the end brought a lot of people on board, made a lot of people mad, and I think even folks who want illegal immigrants to be able to stay and get documented status don't like this bill, and a lot of people aren't exactly sure why. If you ask them to point to something specific, a lot of people will point to just they're mad that the government has not shut down the borders, that there doesn't seem to be any real effort to take care of the problem of just anybody being able to get into this country who wants to, especially from the southern border. And I think that is probably the biggest problem. It's a trust issue, and Americans think that by giving status to these illegal immigrants before people feel that the border has been shut down, they're just not going to buy it. They don't think it's going to really happen, and that's why this whole thing collapsed. People don't trust this government to get that done.
Here's an interesting question, and maybe you can answer this, maybe you can't. I don't know. In terms of industrialized nations, is America, are we, does this problem affect us more than other industrialized countries? In other words, you take like a Canada or whatever, France, England, do those countries face the same level of illegal immigration problem that we do? Or is America really, do we get hit the hardest with illegal immigration?
Each of those countries does have a problem with illegal immigration, but each one is very distinct. France might be more comparable. Their border is a little bit more porous than ours, and they're closer to some areas where they're getting illegal immigration from. But America's border our land border on the south is so vast. It's so much larger than most of these other countries. It's hard to compare. Each one has a different set of problems. But Great Britain and France, for example, do have problems with illegal immigration. So does Spain, so do other countries. But I don't know what the per capita, certainly not on the level of the millions and millions that the United States has. When you do it per capita, though, I'm not sure what the comparison is.
All right. Just as a not necessarily a side note, but just on a separate issue, somebody sent me something this morning. There was some angry Portland radio blog posting something rather from some, I don't know, some bleeding heart who was complaining about the paucity of, quote, progressives in talk radio. And they had this laundry list about in talk radio in this country, who's on the conservative side and who's on the progressive side, because I guess you're not allowed to say the word liberal. according to this list, apparently I am on the forefront of progressive talk radio, whatever the hell that means.
Wow.
But I don't really know. I think that they just flipped a coin at some point. But I will say this. It has nothing to do with partisanship. I simply like to see White Houses and White House administrations subpoenaed and threatened with things. So is it true that if the Bush administration tries to stonewall the subpoena or tries to use executive privilege or whatever, that it could trigger impeachment because that's the only way to uncover it? Because if it's a criminal investigation, that doesn't hold, right? If it's a criminal investigation, that dike just breaks.
It would be... I think that you get into a very serious legal debate. That's not clear. Some people are making that argument, but I don't think that's clear that really would work that way. I think it's a possible avenue, but it doesn't seem like the route that would have the most success if you really want to get documents. Now, if you want to impeach the president and you think there are a number of reasons to do that, then maybe you could add this to that list. But if you're trying to get these documents from the White House, if that's really your goal, then I don't think impeaching the president is the way to get those documents.
Did Dick Cheney himself say that he was a fourth branch of government? Or was that
Dick Cheney said that. Dick Cheney's office said that that he is not necessarily part of the executive branch because he has legislative branch powers.
Okay.
So it's a very typical White House. And in fact, I think it's not just Republicans, Democrats, White House, Democrats, Congress. This is the way people answer questions now in Washington. I kind of give this non-answer that you can't really stick them to. They're not right. Really, well, he's kind of this, he's kind of that.
You got to give those guys points for chutzpah. You really do. When they were trying to nail down Dick Cheney, he and his people were saying, well, he's not part of the executive branch as such. I mean, that really is like a what is the definition of is.
Right, it's exactly. That's what started the whole thing. And you should watch, actually, today in the House, Democrats now, the fun, you would just have so much fun here in Washington if you were here this particular week, Rick. Democrats in the House, because of this whole thing with Dick Cheney, are throwing out an amendment out that may pass, it's hard to say, to take away all the funding for the vice president's mansion, for the vice president's residence, because it's funded through the executive branch.
Oh, and if he's not part of the executive branch, he doesn't need it.
That's
fantastic.
So they're trying to take away the
that's
funding.
That's so great. I mean, I don't care. I mean, I don't give a rip what side anybody is on the political spectrum. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just, things like this, I just love fights and entropy. And I will, as a parting comment, it is months like this and years like this where I really do wish that Hunter Thompson hadn't quite cashed it out so early. Because, man, you know, God only knows what that guy be saying about this administration at this point in American history. So.
No kidding. That's great.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day, Lisa. Thanks. We will talk to you very soon.
Thank you. See ya.
Thank you. There you go. There's Lisa Goddard from the Hill. You'll note, by the way, my own defense, she, by her own admission, prompted me to talk about the Laura thing.
I'm just very frustrated with the whole Laura thing.
Well,
I mean, really, you heard me talking to her on the phone today. It's like pulling teeth.
Seriously. And you were very nice and courteous, very
and I'm trying, and as she's, you know, not being as pleasant to me as I would appreciate, you know, I'm sitting there trying to book correspondence, and she doesn't even call. Well, that just seems really poorly managed.
And the idea that somehow they would not make Jim Roop available, I don't keep going back to this, because it just seems like such a bad, I don't want to say bad management, but it just seems like a no-brainer. That if your network has stumbled into some massive publicity coup, like they did with Paris Hilton, whatever fun we make of it, it was a huge deal. And then Jim Roop was there. He was there at the interview. You know? And you got a chance to have him talk about it on radio stations all over the country. No, just send him home.
Yeah.
We'll get Lisa. Okay. But don't actually call her. I'm sorry. I got to quit. That's 503-733. We'll just,
hey, but you know what?
Contact her telepathically.
Well, good news, Mike Thrasher just called, and we're having Kyle Gass on at 1 o'clock.
Cool. He's going to be calling us at 1.
He's calling the hotline at 1 o'clock.
All right. So we better get to the news hour now, because we got to reserve a few minutes to figure out what the hell I'm going to ask him. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email us. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Don't go anywhere, kids. Just moments from now, Tim Riley at the noon news hour Ministry of Truth desk type thing will be presenting a whole passel of information and stories of comedy. Stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. As does she, by the way.
She really does, you know. She's looking good.
We should stop now.
Okay.
503-733-2970. Because the corollary to that is not like before, when she was horrid. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please put your working class hands together for the Reverend Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Driver only wearing underwear smashed into a County Work inmate crew van in Southeast. He's a Gresham resident, Ellen J. Cheek. This happened at Southeast Yamhill and Southeast 182nd. Now, that's when the 1992 Chevy Corsica clipped a minivan while passing and slid across the lanes, crashing into the vehicle full of prisoners. The car was doing about 70 miles an hour in a 35-mile-an-hour zone.
That's like the guy earlier said, talking about somebody stepping on an anthill by mistake. If there's a big truck full of anything you don't want to crash into, it's prisoners.
Investigators said the driver got out to help the driver of the Corsica and called for help before medics arrived. He was dressed only in his underwear and socks.
Fantastic.
He was taken to Emmanuel with non-life-threatening injuries. And I guess nobody got hurt there. Two sweating Gresham children were found alone in a hot SUV in a Costco parking lot.
Oh, okay. See, I'm sorry I laughed. I thought you meant they were just sweating because they were Greshamites.
Well, no.
And probably fat. I'm sorry. So, let's start again.
Two sweating Gresham children were found inside a hot SUV parked in the Costco parking lot. Concerned citizens called 911 after spotting the 7 and 1-year-old girl in the vehicle with the windows rolled up tight. They were hot.
Are you kidding me?
No.
A 7-year-old girl and who?
A 1-year-old girl. They were in the vehicle for 25 minutes.
With the windows rolled up.
Mm-hmm. The mother eventually returned the vehicle and told the deputy she'd gone to Costco to pick up a medical prescription.
Let's hope it was for something that prevents future children. All right, never mind. You know what it is? And here's why this story aggravates me. A,
it was a Troutdale woman.
Well, A, because of the obvious, and B, because you know that just as we're getting into June, that's when these stories start happening. This is just the first one. Because you know, and we try not to read too many of these because they just become angering and they fill you with like a seething, impotent rage. But then we start getting a whole series of stories about children and or dogs locked up inside cars that are like left in a Walmart parking lot for 3 hours. And it just fills me with the desire to go out and break people's legs. So, all right.
A truck stop janitor has been suspended after allegedly peeking at a couple in a private shower. This happened at Travel Centers of America, the truck stop in Troutdale. The couple had just returned from camping. Thought it would be a good idea to rinse off before returning home.
Did we have the story yesterday?
Yeah, we did, but this is a return to it.
Okay.
This is an update. They say they were in the shower naked when they heard strange noises.
Naked in a truck stop shower.
There's a dude standing on the chair looking through the vent.
Yeah.
Police arrived and found the vent was bent. So you can see into the shower. The janitor, Antiquio Montiel, was arrested for invasion of privacy. He says it's a misunderstanding. He was just changing a light bulb.
Of course. Well, and the idea that clearly he must know that the vent was bent as he was, now see, and I want to make everything rhyme, sitting on the chair, which means he has a habit of this. But think about the people that you must routinely see shower at a truck station, at the truck stop, in a restroom. I mean, that can't be it. That's not a good class of showering right there.
No.
All right.
Okay, so
I can tell from your tone of voice. I know what's next.
Yeah, I try to put it off. I don't want to leave with it.
How far into the Paris Hilton interview did you make it?
To the half hour.
But
five minutes into it, she was done. Really?
She had. Boy, I don't know. Oh, I gotta get a small drink of water before we continue.
Everybody, take a drink before we start this.
It'll be over soon.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We scaled it down to like 5 sound bites, which is all it's about worth, if that much.
Seriously, and we could talk to Roop about this if only he was made available to us. But I will say, I mean, on a television show by a host who is known for his puffball questions, completely
non-subjective.
No, no, zero. Wait, are you talking about him or us now?
Him.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no prep at all. None. I mean, not a single follow-up question. Not a single. It's not like I expect her to be eating it, like she's being grilled by RFK on his anti-crime task force or something. But I mean, seriously, you figure that he would at some point try to ask some question that the audience would ask, right? Isn't that the whole point of a show like Larry King? Is that that's what I try to do here whenever I interview somebody. I try to ask stuff that maybe just the average listener would want to know. Something that just the general public would ask if they had the chance. Because not everybody gets a chance to interview Paris Hilton, so if you get the chance, you ask what the audience wants to know. He did none of that. It was just a whole lot of, you know, so, are you happy now that you're out of jail? I mean, that's...
I'd like being in jail.
Yes. Was it bad, or would you say it was good to be in jail? Were you scared when they told you were going to go to jail? I mean, just the lamest, most unbelievably soft, malleable, predictable questions. And God love my wife. This is the reason number 872 why I love my wife. She, because I was at the Bullet Voice thing, and I wasn't able to get home and watch the interview when it actually happened. But she called and left me a cell phone message. It was something on the lines of, you know, Paris is so unbelievably stupid. I'm writing down all these great moments you have to watch. And I went home, and she had actually taken a legal pad, and she had noted throughout the hour what minute markers I should go to find the real gold. Let me see if I have this, and you probably have this, Tim, but let me see if I have this one cut here. Bring this up, Mike, and I believe this is clean. I think this is just straight off CNN. Hold on.
She's not getting these endorsements because of her talent or because of her acting ability or before.
Let's see. Well, Now, see, this is not. This is somebody who's decided to be.
I have all of them on my blog if you want to.
Really? Do you have the last segment? This is somebody who decided to be hilarious. And they've added, like, wacky music or something behind it. I want to hear that section. There's two great moments. One is when she said, and you may have either of these. One is where she says, she lists off, like, a whole laundry list of stuff that she wants to cure. He's like, so what are you going to do now? And then she lists off a bunch of stuff. It's like a grab bag of ailments that she wants to help with. She says, well, I want to help children, and I want to cure breast cancer and multiple sclerosis. And then just sits there. It was like someone had coached her on how to list three things that, like, combined would affect...
Try to remember at least two.
And that combined would affect, like, 80% of planet Earth. There was that, the moment when she said that she wants to help kids and then cure breast cancer and multiple sclerosis, one presumes in that order. And then he grilled her. I will say this. He did ask her three times if she had ever done drugs. And she flatly denied it. She looked right in his eyes, in his reptilian face, and she said, no, never.
Never done drugs?
No.
You've never done drugs in your life, Paris?
No, never. And then that was like when he said,
do you have a drinking problem?
No.
Have you ever had a drinking problem?
No.
Okay.
You know, it's like, where was he going to go from there? There was just... And she must have been on... whatever she's on, most of the Adderall or whatever that drug is, because she was just so... Or maybe that's just what happens when you're really dumb. You're unflappable. Maybe when you're really stupid, nothing can unnerve you because there's just nothing there to rattle. You know what I mean? There's just nothing there to shake.
The good part was, I mean, the sheriff was going to release her because she had claustrophobia.
Really?
Yeah.
I must have missed that part. Did she say that?
Yeah. Larry asked, what was the big secret medical condition? She goes, well, I have claustrophobia.
Oh, please. I just watching that interview, just that urge, that long dormant urge to beat her with a stick just came back full force, though. I haven't felt that in about 3 weeks. It was kind of strange because it was a lot of, it was really hard because the food isn't very good. And it's like suddenly it was like, where's my bat? There's a great quote to where she thinks she's being funny. She thinks that she's being witty and using a phrase that no one has ever said before. She goes, it's baloney, but. They call it mystery meat, and it was like I could just feel Mr. Hand becoming Mr. Fist. And then there was
I was wondering, who would they be? Who did she see that might have given her that information?
You know, the people. Tim, the less fortunate that she spent a lot of time with, like Mother Teresa. And at the end when he had... Do you have her, Larry King, asking her what her favorite Bible verse is?
Yeah, I got it right here.
Okay, let's hear Paris Hilton ask about her favorite Bible verse. What do you suppose her answer is, Sarah?
Do unto others this... You'd have to do it unto you.
Oh,
I don't know.
You're giving her way too much credit. Let's listen.
What's your favorite Bible passage?
Oh, really?
Echo.
I don't have a favorite.
Oh, that's too bad. You can see, if you watch it, you can see the panic on her face, too.
I thought she could have just said the whole Bible.
That would have been a better answer. Yay, what's your favorite Bible passage? And then she can't even make eye contact with him. When he said that, she turns away and she kind of... She puts her face forward and her hair kind of falls down so you can't see her. And she told me, you can tell in her little, like, habit trail of a head, the gerbil's just running as fast as it can, trying to generate an answer. And she can't come up with one. And then he doesn't press her on it at all, which at no point did he press her on anything. And again, it's not like he was going to grill her for an hour. But
you can't ask for too much from Larry.
I guess.
Love another heart attack.
I don't even answer me. that would have at least made it entertaining. I'm with you though. Where it seemed like, did it seem like during the Paris Hilton interview, like time was just crawling by?
The clock. The
battery die on this clock. Really, it was like a 10-minute interview that they just. It's like soft ice cream, which is where they take in hard ice cream and they fill it full of air. That's what this interview was. This interview was just like a Mr. Softy dispenser. And it was just a 10-minute interview expanded out to about 54 minutes. It was excruciating. I mean, really, for the love of God. All right, well, what else do we have from Paris?
Let's see. Paris talks about how her situation can benefit others.
I know it has helped because I've received a lot of letters from different people that... They've made the mistake of drinking and driving, and because I went through this, like, wow, it could happen to me, too.
That's really profound, Paris. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
She plans to tone down her hard partying lifestyle.
I've realized that there's a lot more important things in life, and there's a lot more things to do, and I'm frankly sick of it. You know, I've been going out for a long time now, and yeah.
But never doing any drugs of any kind.
It's not going to be the mainstay of my life anymore.
I mean, maybe she doesn't, though. Maybe all the drugs she does are legal ones. Maybe she does so many legal drugs.
No, she's a huge pot smoker.
Sarah Dillon has said that.
No, I've seen numerous pictures throughout the years of her.
Oh, there was a photograph of her smoking a joint after she got...
Yeah.
After
yeah.
she got convicted of DUI.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate her. Oh, see, there goes the hate back. The hate comes surging back again, like a golden flood.
See, don't let her trick you, Rick.
No, that's...
You're starting to get sucked in. You're like, maybe she didn't do anything wrong. She did do something
wrong. No. Oh, okay, I'm going to stop right now. We could do a whole segment called What You Wish the Interview Had Been and What It Really Was. Somebody ought to have a service like that where they recreate moments like that, but they recreate them the way they ought to have been. There was that famous photograph of her at like a baseball game or something, smoking a joint with, I don't know, like somebody, some like British royal or some like Fergie or somebody, somebody, smoking a joint, and it was after she had already been told she was going to go to jail, but before the sentencing had happened. And it was on TMZ, the photograph of her smoking a joint. Don't you wish Larry King had produced that photograph right there? I've never done drugs. Here's a photograph of you smoking a joint. How great would that have been? Or when she was talking about how, at one point in the interview, she tries to put it off on the friends. She's like, it's making me so angry. There's a section in the interview where he says, I mean, if you listen to this interview, she's the world's perfect person. Because he's, do you get angry? No. You don't get angry. I don't get angry. Are you easy to get along with? I'm very easy to get along with. Are you a good friend? I'm a very loyal friend. I wish he had then just immediately produced that videotape of her screaming the N-word a whole bunch of times. How great would that have been? Here's a videotape of you using the N-word like 9 times while drunk. What do you have to say? What say ye about this? That would have been very satisfying. It didn't happen, though. All right, what else do we have?
Let's see. Paris has asked if she thought the judge treated her unfairly.
I was walking in there assuming I was just going to get community service. That's what my lawyer said at the time. So when he sentenced me to that much time in jail, it was shocking because that doesn't happen ever.
Well, clearly it does.
All right. She doesn't agree with her jail sentence.
You know, I think the crime did not fit the punishment. I did my time, and you know, it was really, really hard, but I don't feel like I deserve to go to jail.
Shut your hole. All right.
Oh, yes, you do.
Is there anything else from that?
No, that's enough.
That's it.
It's all about the same thing.
No, I mean, the interview never went anywhere. It was at that level. I mean, there was... It was like a flat line of an interview.
It was done within 3 minutes.
Seriously, there were no sparks, nothing interesting, except the part where she said that she gets lots of letters from the soldiers serving in Iraq. Because they've got nothing better than to write letters to Paris Hilton. So there was that. I think it was pretty much it. Oh, and she pronounces the word well as wool. W-O-O-L. She was wool when he was asking her about the... Oh, and then when she was trying to explain attention deficit disorder. What is attention deficit disorder? He asks as though he doesn't know what it is. And she says, well, I just, and I don't know whether it was intentional or whether she was trying to be funny, but then she completely lost her train of thought. Well, and then it's like she was distracted by a bright, shiny thing on the counter for a while and he had to get her attention back. So that's it. That's the entire interview right there. And then they did this, I didn't see them take a single phone call.
No, because it was pre-taped.
But, I mean, it wasn't live when he did it at 6?
No.
Really? So it wasn't live at all?
No.
I didn't know that.
It was not live.
Well, that's interesting. Why didn't they do it live, do you suppose? Just because they didn't want...
Some people, they don't do it live with.
Oh, how weird. I guess maybe that's because...
He doesn't take calls on every show.
It's the, because, I mean, he has the same phone screening console that we do, which I was finding a little cool. He has this same box here that we used to take calls. And I noticed there were no calls on it at all, zero. And that makes sense now. So I wonder, that must not have been his request. That must have been the Hilton family's request. Mm-hmm. Because they must have expected that she would either melt down or say something unbelievably stupid. And they wanted the chance to sort of get it back. I wonder what kind of strictures were put on that interview. I wonder if he was told that certain things were off limits.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he couldn't ask certain questions. He must have been. I mean, because CNN was at least the third choice for this, and probably not even that. So, because you got to figure Fox would have no problem paying for an interview. All right. Well, there we go. And this guy says Paris Hilton is really stupid. She's going to destroy the entire. I mean, they'll never put her in charge of that empire. They'll never let her run that business. That family will give her enough money that she can just go live in a chateau somewhere. She will. Yeah, she'll never do that. You know what I wonder about is this. When I watch that Larry King show, how do they do? Is that show on a delay?
I would imagine so, yeah.
How do they do a delay when it's video, though?
If you notice, a lot of times when they're covering things live, the audio is a split second behind the video.
So can they dump video?
I'm not sure on that.
Because here I have this big button that says dump on it. And so that's if somebody swears or, you know, whatever, says something.
They wouldn't do that on this one.
Of course not. Somebody works blue. Somebody decides to use salty language on the air. I can hit this button, and it just erases the last 10 minutes of the show, and you'll never hear it. It'll never be broadcasted. It erases the last 10 seconds. But if on a TV show, I guess they could dump the audio, but I wonder if they could dump video. So, like, if somebody on Larry King just decided to, like, I don't know, take out their penis or whatever, you know.
Or if Larry King decided to. He just goes berserk one night, climbs up on the counter.
That's the strangest idea in the history of the world. Would you like to see my flaccid member?
Well, I would imagine there's a procedure just in case that happens.
It's right after, like, what to do in case of a fire, and before, what to do in case of an earthquake. What to do if Larry King climbs up on the woodwork and takes his penis out.
I wonder what that procedure is. I wonder if there are just big jets of air mounted somewhere that will blow him off the desk back into the set.
It's just a huge, I'm picturing a huge red button on the counter that just says, Larry's penis out. And that's, he does it, you open a little, the little glass cover, and you wham, and you hit the button, and then the guy's got to turn a key, and it just drops sackcloth over the entire stage.
He may have threatened to do it before.
I'll take my penis out. I'll do it right here.
If Anderson Cooper gets more time than I do.
Seriously, this Poland Springs water is not at 42 degrees. Don't make me remove my penis. Oh, well, whatever. I don't even know now about the video delay, but it doesn't matter. That image is just going to be with me forever. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Lindsay Lohan was allegedly drunk and had cocaine in her system during her early morning smash-up in Beverly Hills Memorial Day weekend. According to multiple law enforcement sources, toxicology reports conclude that Lohan, who's only 20, had twice the legal amount of alcohol and traces of blow in her bloodstream when she crashed her 2005 Mercedes convertible onto the curb at Sunset Boulevard at 5:30 in the morning. Police say Lohan and two other adults were in the car at the time of the crash, after which she was taken to a local hospital and treated for minor injuries, then placed under arrest on suspicion of DUI. Cops later found a usable amount of cocaine in her car.
I wonder if she had traces of blow in her mouth.
Oh, I don't know. Investigators say steroids were found at the Georgia home of professional wrestler Chris Benoit. Who police say killed his wife and 7-year-old mentally retarded son before hanging himself. World Wrestling Entertainment Chairman Vince McMahon tells the Today Show that the organization's statement that steroids were not related to the cause of death was to address the term road rage or roid rage being used.
And obviously this is not an act of rage. It's an act of deliberate
I'm going to kill you.
You do something like this over 3 days. It's not an act of rage, be it steroid rage or roid rage, whatever it's called, or any other rage.
You know, that's what Dennis Pittsburgh is going to sound like when he's about 50. Mm-hmm. If that's just all of the edges of that voice come worn completely off. All right.
Vince McMahon tells NBC's Today program that the WWE is anxious to find out the circumstances behind Benoit's death.
We want to know the answers just like everyone else. Steroids may or may not had something to do with this. Other prescription drugs, other pressures in terms of his son and his wife. I don't know, and some of this perhaps we'll never know.
All right.
Federal drug agents raided the office of Benoit's personal physician, Dr. Phil Aston.
So we don't know what they found there. The moral of the story is, if your husband is beating you in the face 4 years ago, and you file a restraining order, and you tell the cops that he's punching you around and threatening to harm you, and you file for divorce and whatnot, just follow through on that plan. Why don't you not go back? And if you do, why don't you not drag your poor kid into it? Rick, I bet CNN is keeping Jim Rome quiet because he'll say the Larry King interview blew like nobody's business. Just a thought. I hadn't really considered that. Perhaps he was on an early morning program somewhere and made those observations, and they decided to let him go home and enjoy the rest of his Southern California day. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, Bill Barnes said he was scratching off a losing $2 lottery ticket inside a gas station in Grand Rapids when he felt a hand slip into his front left pants pocket where he had $300 in cash. The former Marine, who's 72, grabbed the guy immediately and beat the life out of him. There was blood everywhere, said the store manager.
Well done.
Barnes was a regional runner-up in a Golden Gloves competition in the Marines in 1956. And he also has kept in shape. He's a retired iron worker and nobody to mess with.
I love old people that just beat the muggers and other criminals into dust.
He said, I didn't want my wife to give me hell for letting that guy get my money, he said with a big grin.
How great is that? That he's a 72-year-old guy who beat a dude to death, but the guy in turn is actually scared of his wife.
Yep.
Scotty, who is this on two? Right here. Scotty's busy typing his thoughts on the screen about what he thinks the next suburban perspective should be about. Mm. Well, it's some call. All right, well, let me know. Let's do one more, and then we'll take a break here.
From the heartland of America comes word from White Cloud, Michigan. A man has 2 weeks to create a backyard, or he'll spend time in jail. David Birch was behind bars the last 2 weekends because he failed to comply with a White Cloud city rule that says homeowners must have a yard. Police Chief and White Cloud Inspector Roger Ungry says Birch was told over a year ago to start a yard, or else.
We attempt to make every effort to work with our citizens and give them every chance to comply. Unfortunately, some people elect not to comply, and then enforcement action must be taken.
They helped them plant seeds and laid on sod so the yard can be completed by the Friday deadline.
Kneel before sod, son of Jor-El. Real quickly,
Scotty,
we can just real quickly before we break here.
You're not going to amount to that squad!
Beams up, Scotty.
You can join us now in these shows. Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our intrepid PA, the one and only Scotty J. Why, hello, Scotty, and how are you on this fine, whatever the hell this is, Thursday?
Good morning.
Line one.
You know, it's been on hold ever since.
Is that going to be a depressing call?
No, it's just
going to make me angry.
It was a relevant call about an hour ago, but
I'm picking up on your tone of snark. There's no need to be.
I am in a pissy mood today. I'm sorry. I'm going to try to make it better.
Why are you in a bad mood, Scotty?
I have no idea. It's just one of those cloudy. Maybe it was because
the answer rhyme with alcohol.
No. No.
You sure?
You've been kind of moody the past couple days.
No,
and you've been late to work every day.
I know, because I got too much going on, and it's really...
You need to take the back. It's good that you're putting your job at the bottom of your priority list. Thanks for that.
I'm sorry.
I'm glad that we can rank below, like, you know, sleeping.
It helps to talk about it sometimes.
Yes, it does. Actually here, you know, every day.
You know what it helps is if you didn't have the stress of smoking on top of all of this.
Maybe that's it. But no, the deal is this guy was calling about kids in the car, so...
All right. And then what is line two?
I probably wouldn't take that.
Why? Because
you don't want to let people know how it works, so then they can...
The guy in line two is asking about the dump button.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's a good question.
Well, don't people generally know how it operates? What is his question?
I have no idea. I just put him on hold and said I probably wouldn't take the call.
All right. And then, so, Sarah, what is the deal with the hotline?
It's Roop.
Okay, so...
And he wants to talk to him.
Cool. Well, should we take a break here?
No, let's take Roop and then a break and then come back.
Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. CNN Radio correspondent for the City of Angels, the one and the only Jim Roop. Why, hello, sir.
Good afternoon. I don't want to screw up your day.
What brings you to the phone today?
Well, I thought maybe you wanted to do a little post-mortem on Paris.
Well, I had wanted to. We were told you were unavailable, sir.
That's why I called you.
All right. Well, God bless you, sir. I appreciate that. I hope I didn't stir up any sort of a hornet's nest.
I don't think anybody knows.
Oh, well, God bless you, Jim. Really, this honestly right now, people want to know why you rank high in the Rick Emerson pantheon of heroes. This is it, sir. We're going to have a little gold statue of you in the studio one of these days. Thank you so much. I do appreciate that, man, because I know you're actually technically off right now. Did you get to see her last night, or where were you? Because I know you were at the building or at the studio or whatever.
I was kept at paparazzi distance.
Really? So they lumped you in like the guy from The Sun?
Yeah, I was pretty much kept aside, yeah.
Boy, let me just say this, and I won't ask you to weigh in on this comment. Simply my observation as a pundit, even a guy who is known for softball interviews, Larry King, that was just a completely toothless. I mean, it was like one of those houses where everything has been rounded because they have small children. All the corners have been rubberized. That's what that interview seemed like to me.
Yeah, it was pretty much a snoozer.
I mean, it really was. It was like 5 minutes in, as Tim noted. It's like I'd seen everything. It was clear she wasn't really going to answer anything. And again, it's not like he has to get everybody on there.
Wait a minute. We did. There were some revelations. For instance, jail food is lousy.
Yes.
She had bologna for lunch and slop for dinner. She coped by meditating and reading fan mail, some from Iraq. She's stronger now. She doesn't take drugs. She only had one drink the night she was arrested. And God makes everything happen for a reason.
Of course. And she wants to help, in this order, the children, breast cancer, and multiple sclerosis.
Yes.
And
she also said she'd like to start a transitional housing for women getting out of jail that don't have a home like hers to go to.
And she does not have a favorite Bible verse. She just
and
loves the whole
thing. Strip searching is humiliating.
Yes. Who would have imagined any of these things to be true?
I would think a sex tape seen worldwide would be a little more humiliating than a strip search.
I was just going to say she has been strip searched before. It was just all in green scale.
Yeah.
The, and then we were saying earlier that there was that photograph widely circulated of her smoking a joint. And this is about 3 months ago, I think, after she had already been convicted and was still facing sentencing. And I wish Larry King had said, have you ever done drugs? And when she says no.
What about the photo?
Yeah, Siri, what about this photo in my hand right now of you smoking a joint?
You know, as he was talking about that, I was Googling pictures of her doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking, come on, man.
And then when he said, you know, are you an easy person to get along with? Are you do you have any traits you don't like? Oh, this is the other thing. When he said, Paris Hilton, about your personality, if you could let me ask you this, Sarah, because you haven't seen this session.
Oh, what trait?
Yeah, he asked her this. Let me quiz Sarah, because Sarah hasn't seen this. He says, if you could change one thing about your personality, what would it be? Sarah, what do you expect she might say about that?
I don't know. She has too big of a heart. I don't know. I never really listened to her talk.
Think about that.
I don't really know what she'd say.
Any number of personality traits she might want to change. Maybe that she's a little impulsive. Maybe that she chooses her friends incorrectly, or that she.
I'm just thinking. I feel like the reality will be better than anything I can guess.
Like what could be a legitimate answer that I would accept to that? When she says, "Well, look, maybe I need to spend my days doing something productive, and you know,
yeah,
I need
spend more time with the homeless.
I need to
dedicate.
I need to cure breast cancer." No, she says, "I don't like the way that my voice gets high pitched sometimes." That's her answer. Her answer about the one thing that Paris Hilton would change about her personality: she doesn't like the fact that her voice gets high pitched sometimes.
And Larry didn't say that's not a character trait.
That's a stupid answer, yeah. Paris. I don't make me cuff you. I wish at that point he had showed that video of her drunk and using the N-word a whole bunch of times that came out on the internet about a year ago.
Yeah.
I mean, just to show her, just to see what her reaction would be. You know what I mean? Just to see what she would say. So, was that interview pre-taped?
Yeah, I believe it was.
Was that at the behest of the Hiltons, do you suspect?
It was taped about 3 hours ahead of time.
Do you suspect that because the Hilton reps either didn't want phone calls or they didn't want the chance that she would break down and say something retarded and it would get on television?
Probably. They had a chance to back out, probably. The funniest thing to me was after Anderson Cooper clearly didn't want to do his hour. I mean, he clearly just hated that. You know, you could just see the phone ringing. You're doing an hour on Hilton. What?
He called her a moron.
Yes, you are.
Did he call her a moron?
Yeah, he did. He called her a moron.
She was behaving like a moron. Fantastic. I saw on MSNBC, actually, there's a clip going around the net of some anchor on MSNBC who actually did kind of an interesting bit. They got up from the desk, walked across the studio with a big pile of Paris Hilton copy and shredded it on the air and announced they were never going to read it,
yeah.
Which is pretty great. Hey, here's just a technical question. In your, from what you know about the Larry King Show, does that show operate on a delay? Like a 10-second delay, 30-second delay?
Only because it takes phone calls, but it has to operate on delay.
And so my question is, when they dump something, does it dump the video as well, or can they only dump audio?
Well, the phone calls are audio only.
Right, but I mean, if somebody, in other words, if somebody was to flip the camera off or show something obscene, can they dump the video on that? Is the video delayed too, or does it just... We were talking about that. There's a little bit of shop talk today, but I don't know how a delay works on television. It's all very... Or does
neither do I, but since it's all connected, there has to be a delay on the video, too, just like they do with the MTV Awards or whatever the other music awards are that they have on a delay.
I wondered, maybe they dump the audio and then it's just unsynced until the delay builds back up.
I think the whole thing skips.
Interesting. Now I want to do it. Now I want to get the Larry King Show just so I can take out my penis and see what happens. Sorry. There was a little bit of callback to a statement we made earlier. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to horrify you just now.
Okay.
I guess that's pretty much it, except that, boy, she's useless. And this is, here's the thing, and any hope we had for like 3 seconds when we saw those photos of her getting out of jail that she was going to somehow be a really different, changed, intelligent person, that's gone. She's just back to being her idiot self, and that's kind of the end of the story, I think. I mean,
I kind of felt that coming. I mean, she's still as shallow as she was when she went in. And I love the prison speak though. She at 23 days she got. She started 23 days in jail, man. All of a sudden, she's got prison speak. Don't serve the time, let the time serve you.
Did she say that? I missed that.
She said that, yeah.
Oh, my God, really?
She said, I just live by the motto, don't serve the time, let the time serve you. I'm thinking, 23 days in jail, man. Now she's the matron of cell block C.
Seriously, it's like she's been in Gen Pop and Oz.
Exactly, yeah.
Larry, I thought that I might have to... might have to shank somebody in there. But fortunately, the letters from children got me through it. Ah, all right. Well, the good news is after today, unless she breaks her probation or parole or whatever, after today, we don't ever have to think about Paris Hilton again, and I'm going to try very hard not to.
Oh, I'm happy.
Yeah, no, because your ass had to camp out in the car.
Yeah, I'm happy.
All right, fantastic. Well, dude, I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day. I know you're kind of off the clock right now for calling in. We appreciate it, my brother.
Not a problem.
Thank you, sir. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. God love him. Excellent. God love that guy. How great is he? The man can't hold Jim Roop back. Don't serve the time, kids. Let the time serve you. Anderson Cooper called her a moron. And he's totally right. You know that there was a phone call placed that you will talk about Paris Hilton for an hour. That's great. Your mom can't get you out of this one, Anderson. All right. 503-733-2970. Back after this. More of Tim Riley, your phone calls, and all that. You say the Stuart Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. All right, here's the deal. So it's going to be a little bit of an odd show today, schedule-wise. We'll go back to Tim Riley here in just a moment. I got to get this call about... Doesn't this look like a cheery call? One-year-old trapped in car. It just seems happy. We'll get that. And then, so Kyle Gass, who is half of Tenacious D... And who apparently was an extra in Biodome.
Well, and also, he's supporting his other band. Like, remember not to say Tenacious D, it's Trainwreck today.
I've been an extra in bigger movies.
What's the biggest movie you were an extra in?
Great White Hype.
Really? With Samuel L. Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
See? I know what I'm talking about. Trainwreck. That's his band?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Kyle Gass... Does anybody know anything about his train wreck band? Speaking of train wrecks.
Maybe their instruments are stolen.
Oh, God. All right, so...
It's a six-man band featuring Kyle Gass of Tenacious D.
Yeah, are they a real band, or is it more of his, like, kooky joke music? I sound so out of touch. This is like we were talking about Amy Winehouse yesterday, and I just didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
Just ask Larry King-type questions. Being a musician?
Do you like mayonnaise? Do you prefer mayonnaise or salad dressing?
What do you think of the Beatles?
Totally. Exactly.
Do you have the White Album?
This totally, completely incidental things.
What's your favorite Billy Joel song?
I'm totally asking that. I'm asking his favorite Billy Joel song. Hold on. Let me turn to an unused page of my legal pad. Favorite Billy Joel song?
Yes.
That's going to be my new stock question. Favorite Billy Joel song. Okay, so here's the deal.
All right, I found the Wikipedia.
Scotty, I'm not asking your favorite Billy Joel song. Quit, just stop. Quit, be quiet. All right, real quickly. Hi, Rich. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Rick. Something you were talking about like a real long time ago, but about a month ago, I was in the parking lot at a Fred Meyer in Portland, and I was with my two babies in the car, and my wife gets out and says, there's a car with a baby in it. So she watches our babies, and I get out, and I look around. I ask a few people if anybody knew if this was their kid. Nobody knew anything, so I called 911. As I'm in the act of, like, telling the 911 operator the license plate, the woman steps out and confronts me.
I mean,
it's like 70 degrees. Her kid is in the car with the windows rolled up, and the door was unlocked. When she got in her car, she just opened it right up. Anybody could have snatched that kid.
And, did she give you the whole, don't tell me how to raise my child?
So she goes, are you for real? And she told me to mind my own business. And she said she just went into the bank for a minute.
Yeah, sure.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And then the liquor store for 10 minutes.
I was going to say, mommy needed some smokes.
Then I needed some scratchers.
No, I get that all the time, too. I mean, it's not like I'm constantly like having to like, but it's like I've done the thing with the dog, too, where you'll see somebody leaves their poor dog in the car with the window, and you're there like on the phone or trying to see if you can get like the window down because the dog is in there just like, and the person comes out and it's a whole lot of, what are you doing with my dog? And then you're trying to explain and then people are even worse with their kids. People totally get all up in your business about when you're trying to like help their kids out somehow. So.
Yeah, and I have twins, and if I go anywhere, I take both of them with me. I wouldn't leave them alone for a second because somebody could snatch them. I mean, not to mention it.
Well, you could have. You should have pointed that out. You should have pointed out that you could have taken the kid had you felt so inclined.
I could have. I could have, and then I would have three kids, but I didn't. And then she peels out and just like leaves a trail of dust, and
of course.
Yeah. So yeah. Hopefully those kids will live.
But. Here's the lesson. People are stupid, Rich. Almost all of them.
Absolutely. Except for you and Tenacious D Rocks. They are the best band in the world.
All right. I'll be sure to pass that on to Kyle Gass when I'm not asking about Billy Joel. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. Scotty, we're not going to have time for line two. We'll have to clear out the phones here for all of these thousands of Kyle Gass calls we're going to get. I hate my life. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to roll back to the news here. But in the meantime, here's what I want you to do. We're going to have to pretend, and by we, I mean I, am going to have to pretend that I know anything at all about Kyle Gass, that I know anything about Trainwreck, his new band.
Ask him his favorite biblical verse.
You're curing any diseases, Kyle. Have you ever had a drug problem?
Favorite Bible verse. I'll write it down. Who knows? I may run out.
What personality trait would you like to change? If you were a tree, Kyle. Okay, so 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Kyle Gass, I guess, best known for his part of being Tenacious D, being half of Tenacious D. He's going to be in town tonight playing where, Sarah?
At Dante's. They're playing with Titans of Oblivion and Pillow Fight. $5. Starts at 9:30. I wrote it on a sticky note.
Dante's tonight.
What time does the Pillow Fight start?
I thought, I went to see Pillow Fight one time because I thought it was going to be about hot chicks. It's all dudes. It's like a bunch of fat guys with guitars. I felt totally deceived. I felt manipulated.
Why would you think that it'd be chicks?
A band called Pillow Fight? You don't think it's chicks? Come on.
I think I would.
Yeah, see, Tim agreed with me. So, all right, anyway. Okay, so here's the thing. I'm not going to know what to ask Kyle Gass, and it's going to be awful and hideous for everyone.
Oh.
I gave you three questions.
I know. But maybe he'll just be such a huge Billy Joel fan that I can't stop him from talking about it.
Yeah.
Kyle Gass, favorite Billy Joel song. Rick, I could talk for hours about Billy Joel. Do so now. All right, so what I need now is for you to be calling and to give me a question to ask Kyle Gass. So it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970.
You should really open up his Wikipedia page. He's done a lot of stuff.
Is that Gass with one S or two?
Oh, with two S's.
Oh, I'm
glad I asked.
I thought you were suggesting that as a question for him. How do you spell your name?
There's a question.
Oh, all right. And the worst part is, I know there are a lot of people who care about Kyle Gass. I just wish I was one of them. Mm. All right. Well, okay. So Scotty's going to screen these calls here. All right. And then after this whole abomination is done, we'll continue. Boy, he looks kind of like Phil Hendry. We'll continue with the news. Hi, Steve. What should I be asking Kyle Gass?
I think you should just get a transcript of the Paris Hilton interview and ask him all the same questions.
Scotty, you know we talked about call screening? This is not a helpful call, sir. The clock is ticking.
Okay.
Hang up now.
Bye.
Thanks so much. Thanks for that. Scotty's justifying after the fact. It was a good call. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Please tell me what to ask Kyle Gass. Oh, for the love of God, this is not
this
going
is not
well.
Helping. I
this
know.
Is not helping. This is like...
I'm going to start to panic for you. 7 minutes, dude.
Uh-oh. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. What should I be asking Kyle Gass?
Well, there's a couple. You could, you know, ask him if he's doing his other band because him and Jack Black, like, broke up.
Oh, that's a good question. And I don't really care if he gets irritated at me or not, so there you go.
Yeah, I mean, if Jack Black, they could be, you know, happy for each other. Who knows? And how much fun did he have?
Yes?
Hey, this is Portland, man. There's a whole lot of people that enjoy the same love as the same sex. It's cool. So anyway.
This was such a bad idea.
That was a good first question. What's the other one?
Ask him if he liked having his HBO show with Jack Black.
Oh, is that, it was, Tenacious D, the show was on HBO.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, we're done. Did you enjoy?
This isn't going so well.
Really, I'm scraping at the bottom of the barrel. Did you enjoy having your own television program?
Well, he just said that big movie. You can ask him about that Pick of Destiny thing.
How am I supposed to ask that question sincerely? Did you like being a TV
questions like that with a straight face? Why can't you? He's been doing it for like 50 years.
He got an 18 share. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Please, for the love of God, help me with this Kyle Gass interview. What should I ask?
Rick, I actually have no idea what to ask him.
Thanks.
But,
thanks for calling.
Hey, I'm in one of the bands that's playing tonight, Titans of Oblivion.
Okay.
And just as a small coincidence, our singer is the guy who quit Red Hot Pistol. He quit to be in our band.
That is really fascinating.
Did he give a two-week notice?
If only it helped me in any way. If only in any conceivable fashion this assisted me with the problem that needs solving right now.
Okay, ask Kyle if he likes ice cream. Tenacious and delicious.
Oh, I should ask if they can get their own flavor, like Tenacious...
Tenacious Delicious.
Tenacious...
By Ben & Jerry's.
Tenacious
yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Did that actually exist?
It's actually, I heard a CD of prank phone calls that somebody called Tenacious D's manager and claimed he was from Ben & Jerry's and said that they were going to do a flavor called Tenacious Delicious.
All right, I got to take that off the list of questions then. That's not going to work. All right, that is an interesting confluence of events, though, with you and the singer and the Red Hot Pistol guy.
Yeah, wait, he's Oblivion.
Wait, hold on a second. But he's not the guy that sings on that worst song ever, is he?
No, that's Sydney Ruin.
He's not the Lion's Den guy.
No, not at all.
All right.
No, he's like the singer, the original singer. He left their band, to be in our band or whatever happened.
Sad for everybody. All right. Thank you, Ron.
Good for us.
All right. Thanks so much. Yeah. As long as it's working out for you.
Right, and now you know the guy from Red Hot Pistol is going to call and there's going to be a big band war.
John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Please help.
Yeah, I think you should ask Kyle Gass if he's tried Beano.
This isn't helping. And it's not helping that I laugh at these questions.
Ask him if he's tried Beano.
It's just encouraging people. I got to stop laughing at these retarded questions because it only instigates. Okay. It's time to huddle. Really? What are we going to do? Okay, I'm going to ask him about Biodome. You were in Biodome. Pleased to tell.
He's been on Friends. He was on an episode of Friends, Seinfeld, and a bunch of...
What's it like being an extra?
There you go. But I asked him if he was on Wild Hogs in that terrible movie.
Oh, I'm going to ask him. Okay, here's the thing. I'm just going to go for broke. Why would you possibly be in Wild Hogs?
There you go.
Why did you do Wild Hogs? What is wrong with you?
That's going to be really good.
Why did you do Wild Hogs? Did you need money? Okay.
And he claims to have graduated from Juilliard.
That's not true.
With a degree in classical guitar studies at the age of 13.
Hey, he was in a 7-Up Gold commercial. All right. Hold on. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Please help.
Yeah.
I'm thinking you can ask them, they're doing a survey now for the new Seven Wonders of the World, and one of the choices is the pyramids, which is also on the ancient Seven Wonders. I was wondering if he has a problem with that.
Okay. Pyramids. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, Aaron just sent me, ask him why MySpace deleted his last three pages.
Did they?
Yeah.
MySpace.
Read his blog.
Deletion.
These are some good questions.
No.
No, they're really
not. They're not.
I'm just keeping my microphone off. This is all you.
You know the best part about that last call, which was retarded? I mean, it was great, but it was a retarded question. Was it Scotty put on the screen? Swear to God, real great question here. You're not helping, Scotty. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
You can always ask him, is it 12:58 already?
Thanks. Rick Emerson's show. Hello. What should I be asking Kyle Gass in like 2 minutes?
Ask him what his opinion of Chris Matthews ambushing Ann Coulter with Elizabeth Edwards.
Go away, please.
Rick, I'm losing you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Best audience ever. Hi, Rick Emerson show. Please help.
Please to be asking him what his favorite Bible verse is.
That joke has already been made. That pop culture reference was already made 6 or 7 minutes ago.
Damn, I missed it.
You have another chance to redeem yourself. Go.
That's all I have, man. I failed you.
Yes, you have. And more importantly, you failed yourself and Jesus.
I will hang my head in shame.
All right. Thank you. Go now. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Kyle Gass is going to be on the show seriously in like 90 seconds. What should I ask?
Okay. When you were working with Stephen Baldwin doing Biodome, how was he before he was a psychotic Christian?
Hey, that's an interesting question. Stephen Baldwin, psycho.
Yeah. And, of course, Pauly Shore before he lost his career.
Stephen Baldwin, psycho. Okay, what is your name, sir?
It's Cox.
Okay, see, that's how a question should be asked. That's when I ask for help. That's what I'm talking about right there. I'm not talking about a guy calling up and making an Ernest Borgnine joke and then whistling at me and hanging up the phone. All right, thank you.
You could also ask him about the animated cartoon for the Effort Gently video.
Have you heard that song? It's funny.
Yeah, my brother was a big Tenacious D fan, so I've kind of heard some of it.
Was a big Tenacious D fan.
Was. I mean, so yeah. I heard, yeah, I would go home to visit him and I would hear, he would play the stuff occasionally. So, all right, thank you.
Good day.
All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, I was wondering, you should ask him about David Grohl and how working with him was.
When did he work with Dave Grohl?
Wasn't that who he was working with?
He was in the video.
I'm sorry, for what?
In the movie, Tenacious D, Picadeusny, he's the devil.
Which I have to admit that I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think Ronnie James Dio was in that movie, too.
Yeah, Ronnie James Dio was also in it. Also, what's his name? God damn it. He's also in the same goddamn song. Sorry, I'm completely spaced right now.
Okay. Well, you sort of helped.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
We got like two more, and then we'll just give up. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. What should I be asking Kyle Gass?
You should ask him what the hell I should be listening to while I don't have to listen to you drown yourself trying to ask questions to Kyle Gass.
I know it's going to be so awkward, and I can't leave the room.
You know, why do you got to hate? Why do you got to give me negative affirmations?
Well, I mean,
how about a little constructive criticism, friend?
Hey, I'm sure that you will do just fine, Rick, and I'd love to pay your ego a little bit, but, you know, I just don't see this going well. But I got to tell you, I am intrigued. I can't wait. I am on edge.
Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
I really don't see it going well.
Like we're in a relationship. I just don't see this going anywhere. I have to say, I just think it's going to end badly. All right, two more. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. What should I be asking Kyle Gass?
If he's going to be in Joan of Arc, he's had such a great career so far.
I honestly don't know if this is a serious question or not. Have you heard that he might be in Joan of Arc?
Oh, God, no.
Thanks.
Yep.
Dumbass. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
What's it like to hang with Jack Black?
Yeah, I'm sure he's never been asked that before. Maybe I'll just ask him nothing but Jack Black questions.
Now all of a sudden want to take us from interview to a groundbreaking one?
Yeah.
Jacob's Ladder, what was that like?
What?
That was awesome. Jacob's Ladder. He was in Jacob's Ladder.
The movie Jacob's Ladder with Tim Robbins?
Uh-huh. AKA Tony. His character name was Tony, and the movie's also known as Dante's Inferno. But, yeah, Jacob's Ladder. I would like to know what it's like to hang out with Tim Robbins as well.
Who was he in Jacob's Ladder?
He was probably a ghoul or something on a subway. I don't know. We'll have to find out. His character name was Tony. That's a cool movie.
Are you just winding me up now, or is that true?
No, I'm not. Rick...
I love you. I'd never wind you up.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Is he calling us?
He's calling us.
All right.
So what if we get stood up by Kyle Gass?
Well, then we've gotten all this love from the audience.
His bus has a flat tire.
All right. So here's what we've got. MySpace deletion. Why have your MySpace pages been deleted? What is the difference between this band and Tenacious D? And did this band exist before, or are you spreading your wings, Kyle Gass? Were you happy with how Pick of Destiny was received? Here's a little hint. Here's a little secret. I don't know how it was received. But that's a total open-ended question that makes it sound like I do. Were you happy with how Pick of Destiny was received? See, and then he can take it either way.
Yep, you got to leave him open-ended. No yes or no.
I have no idea. Yeah, because yes or no, then the question's over. Biodome. Was Stephen Baldwin psychotic then, or do you suspect it just crept up on him?
But you should also ask him, I mean, if he's coming into town for his band, you need to ask him some band questions.
Who are your influences? That's a good standby.
He does go under a pseudonym.
Is he at Clip Cromwell or something?
Clip Calhoun.
Clip Calhoun. That's why. You know what I'm going to ask him? I'm going to ask him.
What are you doing with the Super Suckers?
No, you know what I'm going to ask? Really?
Yeah, it says Trainwreck has toured America supporting Reverend Horton Heat and the Super Suckers.
All right. You know what I'm going to ask him?
Can you play Stairway to Heaven?
No. I was going to ask him what it's like being an extra. Why did you do Wild Hogs? What is your favorite Billy Joel song? What is your favorite Bible verse? Okay.
We should find out if he's a union extra or a non-union extra.
Where's Scotty?
Okay. Scotty, please be
answer answered. It.
Scotty, answer the warm-up. Okay. I'm going to ask him if he thinks that Flight of the Conchords show on HBO is a rip-off of Tenacious D.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great question.
All right. Okay.
Okay, good luck. We're all quiet. Don't talk.
What's going on?
I'm nervous for you. Good luck.
I'm going to pick it up in mid-sentence.
Oh, God, what's Scotty telling him?
I'm going to pick it up as though we're finishing.
Well, you need to start the sentence, then.
Uproarious conversation. No, I'll do it as soon as it goes on hold. I'll finish the conversation that we're not really having right here. And I'll...
Scotty's been talking to him too long. It's making me a little nervous.
Do you want laughs in the background?
Totally. Could you guys totally chuckle? Totally laugh. Giggle it. No, well, or should
no.
you? No. No, I guess
I told Mike that he's solely talking to you to get myself off.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, like, you're not even going to be here.
Yeah.
Why is Scotty still talking?
I don't know. It's really making me nervous. It's like one of those emails. The Emerson Show appreciates it.
Oh, God.
Oh, I never.
That was sitting upstairs in my inbox yesterday that I'd forgotten all about the fact that Scotty replied to, like, every... So, anyway, and with the whole... Scotty, is this, All right. So I guess my plan of doing the back half of a joke we weren't really telling is over now. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, a man who needs no introduction, but whom I will introduce regardless. Tonight, Dante's Trainwreck is why he is here. They're going to be there along with Titans of Oblivion and Pillow Fight, a man that you know probably best from Biodome with Stephen Baldwin. We'll also give an overview of some other things as we talk to this man, the one and only Kyle Gass on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi, Kyle.
God, what an intro. I can't live up to it.
Well, it's, you know, I try to set the bar high with the first question, sir.
Man. Okay.
I have to tell you this. We were talking about how you were going to be on the show today, and the audience is very into it. We've been getting a lot of helpful comments from the audience, people weighing in with really good questions to ask. And the big question we got over and over again was Stephen Baldwin psycho at the time, or did it sort of creep up on him? Because you were in Biodome. Were you in Biodome as an extra, or is that an urban legend?
No, I was there, baby. I was there, but we didn't have a scene with Steven, so I didn't really get to check him out.
What is it like to be an extra? Is that, and I don't mean this as any sort of an insult, but is that, because I know a lot of people, they pay their dues, and that's the road they take before they end up in front of the camera. Is that a horrifying, depressing way to make a living?
I think it kind of sucks your humanity away.
Fantastic.
You just go, why am I here?
I ask myself that question.
No, we were a feature. We were playing a song, and that was like practically a music video for us. That was...
Actually, I have to confess, I'm perhaps not as well versed in Biodome trivia as I might ideally be, sir. So
yeah, it was something went horribly wrong, though.
Excellent. So I'll ask you to go right up front. So you've got Trainwreck. Now, is this a band that has existed for a long time, or is it something that you just sort of branched out as a new project, or?
Actually, been going now like 4 or 5 years, but Yeah, I don't know how it's happened, but just continued on.
You just sort of woke up one day and you were in the band. Is it something that you started because you felt you needed to do something that was different from Tenacious D, or is it similar to it? I mean,
I had to. I thought I had to tour more because I thought that I needed help my dating life.
Because you just,
that's what I thought.
People weren't feeling the gas love across the country.
I needed to get up close and personal. No, Jackson's making a lot of movies, and I wanted to do something fun with my buddy JR. And just kind of got it together. I wanted to play music more.
Is it more? And I know that bands hate being asked this question because it's like, it's like when people ask me to describe this.
I don't hate, sir. I can never hate.
Excellent. Then, so is this, how would you describe the band? And I do feel like a dope asking that question. But if people are maybe familiar with you through Tenacious D or some of the other work, or perhaps your groundbreaking performance in Almost Famous, which is viewable on the director's cut.
Thank God.
How do you describe the band? If somebody comes out there tonight, they don't know what to expect. What's it going to be?
It is, it's kind of a swing and rock. Sort of a classic rock with a little sprinkle of hillbilly sort of fun. It's good. It's like a lot of guitars and then a lot of good dancing.
Is it true that you guys toured with the Super Suckers?
We did.
That's very cool. That's very impressive. I didn't know that, and my producer Sarah pointed that out. That's very impressive right there. That kind of tells me a lot of what I need to know. Those guys are fantastic. So,
with Reverend Horton Heat, too. That was fun.
That's very cool. I would expect nothing less from someone from Walnut Creek, California, where music lives.
You want to be coolest, yeah.
Here's a question completely off the beaten path. Why did you do Wild Hogs? Is that something that, like, you just saw William H. Macy's name and you assumed it couldn't possibly be bad?
Yeah. Well, you know, the part just seemed so perfect. I thought, wow, I could really, that's it. I could do that. That would be fun. The songs, I dug the songs they chose for me. It did seem, William H. Macy, though, was fun. He's a great guy.
He's a cool guy. He's got that hot wife, too, that Felicity Huffman. Did you get to meet her?
Yeah. Hope for herself. No, I haven't met her.
Ah, that's unfortunate. Somebody wanted to know, I had kind of a geeky listener who emailed in and said that you've had kind of a saga with MySpace, that they deleted like 90 of your pages or something.
To crack down. I went through rage. I heard there was imposters. I said no. And then, I set up this. No, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Have you seen that Flight of the Conchords show on HBO?
I did.
Do you feel a little shock of self-recognition when you watch that program?
I saw those guys play. They're funny, though, and they're not really doing rock. So, you can't really copyright two-man band.
But, I mean, let's just speak honestly as men, Kyle.
They seem to be in the D sphere of influence.
Yeah, they.
It
does seem like imitation is the sincerest form of theft with that show. That's simply my observation. All right.
Yeah, you know what? Those guys are funny.
I would not be any kind of rock fan if I did not ask you, Kyle Gass of Tenacious D and Trainwreck, who are going to be tonight at Dante's of Titans of Oblivion and Pillow Fight. I would not be any kind of man or rock fan if I did not ask you about Ronnie James Dio. Did you get to hang with Ronnie James Dio when when doing the Pick of Destiny thing?
Ronnie's a gracious fellow.
Was he very? He seems like he'd be polite in real life.
He is. He's quite the gentleman. He's a cool dude.
All right.
He's still rocking.
If people want to find out more about Trainwreck or about you, Kyle Gass, is there an official MySpace or a page?
You've heard of the interweb or the intra-worldwide. It's all out there.
I heard there's a series of tubes somewhere on which your things may be viewable. All right. And finally, Kyle Gass of Trainwreck tonight. What is your favorite Billy Joel song?
I'm going to go, I'm moving out. Wow. That's the one? Whenever he repeats the word over and over.
Cool. That is the best answer you could possibly have given, sir. All right. Kyle Gass, he's going to be a Trainwreck. Trainwreck featuring Kyle Gass and also your alias as well, which is Clip. Calhoun. I was going to say Cliff Concord, and I realized that was the wrong answer altogether.
It's a very weak guy. You know, it's very weak character.
Trainwreck with Titans of Oblivion and Pillow Fight tonight, 9:30 at Dante's, right downtown. So, Kyle Gaston.
Thanks for the pimping.
Thank you, my friend, and you're welcome anytime on the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you.
Kyle Gass, ladies and gentlemen. Scotty, if you just want to pick up the... let's pause here for a moment before we do anything else. Are you just replaying? Is that with the Dio?
Yes, we need to take a break.
Can you pause it for just a second, though?
Yes.
But thank you for finding the Dio. Okay.
That was quite possibly the worst interview ever. Oh, Thrasher, thank you for the opportunity, but damn.
Seriously, I did my best.
Then. You tried. You whipped out everything you could.
I did everything I could possibly. I asked him about Billy Joel at the end.
Oh.
Yeah. You didn't get to his favorite biblical verse.
No, that was right below that.
Well, that could be in the next series of interviews.
Yeah, that was right below Billy Joel here. Boy, I think we found our end of show cut, though, when he was just doing the move it out like at the end. I was talking about the Billy Joel. Yeah. I don't really know what to say about that. Do you suppose that
it was somewhat engaging.
Maybe he's just tired.
Do you suppose that
it was better than the Paris Hilton interview?
I suppose that's true. Would you say... Where would you rank it against the Steven Seagal interview? Do you suppose that from his vantage point... Because there were some Seagal-esque moments in this interview that we just had, where he would just go, "Well, damn, man, whatever you do, maybe it's, you know, it's all you done."
Just really short answers.
Yeah. Do you suppose from his vantage point it sounded like I knew what I was talking about?
No. Is it like you had a grab bag of crap that you just Wikipedia'd him?
Thanks, audience.
It was a Larry King-like interview.
Thanks for that. Thanks for the help. You dicks. Thank you very much. Rick, ask him what about the pyramids. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the help.
I don't think that...
You should have asked him about global warming.
I appreciate that the people are calling now with questions. Thank you so much. Thanks for that.
Oh, we should have opened up the phone.
Yeah, that would have been a great idea. How could that have gone badly? Final thoughts, sir? Thank you. We'll just let Dio take us out here. Let Dio sing that pain away. Back after this, the Rick Emerson radio program. We'll continue with the news and commentary after this advertising portion of the program. You stay right there. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. Thanks so much. Here's a question for Kyle Gass. 503-733-2970.
Yeah.
Thanks so much to everybody for helping us out with that. I appreciate all the effort you expended.
At last, we have our nomination for the Oregon Association of Broadcasters.
We should totally submit award. That. We should completely and totally submit that interview.
For a groundbreaking interview?
Seriously.
How about you people in Roseburg? What do you think?
I'll totally pay that $75 fee myself or whatever, just so we can make the people of the OAB sit in a room and listen to that. Just sit there and listen to me interviewing Kyle Gass like a retard.
Well, you know those cocktail weenies?
Seriously. 5037. Eating a bag full of little smokies and carrot sticks in like a bad Marriott somewhere. It's 503-732-970. Ladies and gentlemen, do we have a... really? Why are people calling with Kyle Gass questions now, Scott?
Too late.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. What?
Hey, I was just curious if you knew that Meatloaf was in the Tenacious D movie.
Is this a question for me or for Kyle Gass?
For you.
Oh, no, I've never seen the Tenacious D film, so no.
Oh, well, yeah, Meatloaf plays Jack Black's dad.
Oh, that's cool. I can totally see that. All right. That makes sense. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right.
Now I just might have to see that.
Yeah. A little bit of Jack Black goes a long way with me. Jack Black wears on me really quickly. I liked him in School of Rock, and he was good in King Kong, actually. I thought he was really good in King Kong.
I liked him in High Fidelity.
I can see that. Maybe I'm more. Maybe it's just, and I hate to say this, maybe it's just Tenacious D that I don't like. I don't really care for Tenacious D. I mean, here's the thing. My thing, and then we'll do go back to the news desk here. My thing about Tenacious D is this. It's like having seen one Tenacious D video and one or heard one song, I think you're sort of, you get the deal. Like, if you've seen one episode of their show, like, you sort of understand what the joke is. I think that that's a joke that, like, I don't need to hear told over and over again, which is, like, that's to me, the thing about... Like, I can't fathom sitting around and listening to a whole Tenacious D album. To me, it's like, the concept of that is just... It's like listening to a whole Wing album. Really, that's a thing you take in small sips. All right, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's the one and only Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A jackknife semi and several vehicles has blocked all the lanes of I-5 northbound at the south end of the interstate bridge. Northbound commuters are advised to use I-205 northbound to get around southwest Washington, or to get into southwest Washington. If you're stuck there, you're stuck there.
There's nothing more you can do about it.
You're stuck where? In southwest Washington? Southeast Washington?
No, where? On I-5.
Oh.
At the interstate bridge.
Oh. Oh, yeah. That's no good.
No, that's not good at all.
That's a bad place to be stuck, too. There's just a whole lot of nothing but road rage and heat in every direction. Rick, you should have asked Kyle Gass how he helps the retarded. Thanks. Just Tim Riley.
Big power failure in Southeast right now. And they've closed down Portland Community College's 82nd Avenue branch. The kids have been sent home to steal cars in the neighborhood and spray paint graffiti on every building.
I was going to say, their carjacking class has been...
We can expect a few murders before that's over.
Stepping class. Yeah.
Okay, this is just bizarre. The death of Chris Benoit's wife was posted on the internet at least 13 hours before her body was discovered. The pro wrestler's biography on Wikipedia.org announced Benoit would miss a wrestling event due to personal issues stemming from the death of his wife.
Creepy.
Mm-hmm. The posting has been traced to an anonymous user in Stamford, Connecticut. Stamford is the home to the World Wrestling Entertainment headquarters. Employees at Wikipedia say the biography was edited at 12.01 a.m. Eastern Time on Monday. Police discovered the bodies of Benoit, his wife, and 7-year-old son at 2.30 p.m. later that day.
All right, so let me understand this. So the Wikipedia page for Chris Benoit says that he missed the match because... all right.
Because personal issues, he was stemming from the death of his wife.
Yeah, because the public was just told, hey, he can't show up to wrestle because of personal issues, and later they found him all dead. The WWE's, okay, so his Wikipedia page said blah, 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 personal issues, death of his wife, and that information was posted by somebody at the WWE, but 13 hours before his wife was found dead?
Yeah. Well, they haven't said that someone at the WWE posted it, but the anonymous user came from Stamford, Connecticut, which is also the home of the WWE headquarters.
Okay, I can't even remember this information. Was Stamford, Connecticut where Chris Benoit himself lived?
No, he lived in... North Carolina, one of those southern states.
Okay, so it's not possible that it was like that. It was him doing
this.
No, because that was immediately what I thought of him. Like, oh, he went on the internet. Because how long until somebody does that?
Mm.
How creepy is that? Here's an interesting idea. How long until some celebrity decides to post their own like suicide update before they kill themselves?
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
Mm.
I'm just saying that's the kind of thing. See, that's what I'm paid to sit here for. Come up with interesting ideas that will now screw with you for the rest of the day. The idea of some celebrity, whoever, you know, somebody saying, you know. You know, updating their own weight. Like, I guess I could do it, theoretically. Get hung on there. And Rick Emerson, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then, blah, blah, blah. Insert funny method of suicide. But, you know, some celebrity could go online and alter their own Wikipedia entry to be like, and then on Friday, June 28th, you know, hung himself in an attic, whatever, and then do it. That would be kind of creepy. In fact, I'm kind of surprised that hasn't happened already. I'm surprised that somebody hasn't used Wikipedia. I don't mean to be giving people ideas, but I'm surprised that somebody hasn't used Wikipedia to post a suicide note. That is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
When you consider the rate at which some of those Wikipedia sites are sort of defaced, like the best example of that, and I've got the screen capture somewhere, is like, 5 minutes after Anna Nicole Smith was found dead, somebody posted something about the Rick Emerson show there. You know what I mean? And it was like a lot. Rick Emerson was said to be distraught by the fact that blah, 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 boobs. You know, or whatever. That was like on her page right away.
Well, that's because
so.
You have a progressive talk show.
Yeah. It is true. That is what makes us progressive. A constant discussion of bosoms. All right, okay.
So only 900,000 poison tubes of Chinese toothpaste have been sold in the U.S.
How many tubes?
Just only 900,000. They contain poison youth and antifreeze, and they've been sold to hospitals for the mentally ill, prisons, juvenile detention centers, and even some hospitals serving the general population. Most of these went to Georgia, North Carolina, even Florida, so it really isn't a total loss. The Food and Drug Administration has advised consumers to discard all Chinese toothpaste, regardless of brand.
I love the idea that somebody is buying knockoff Chinese toothpaste. Mm-hmm. And what is it called? Isn't it called, like, Happy Smile with an I or something?
Yeah, maybe it's that. Well, one of the brands is Pacific. All right. I can't remember what the other one was.
Pacific with an S and, like, two X's.
Yeah. Well, the Food and Drug Administration says this stuff doesn't belong in toothpaste, period. No more Chinese toothpaste will be allowed in this country. So,
I hope they learned their lesson.
All right. What else is going on in Oklahoma, you ask? Well, Oklahoma City residents may agree. But, apparently, Oklahoma City has the healthiest drinking water in the world. That according to a new survey. And they're acting with a lot of humility in Oklahoma City about this.
We're pretty proud. A lot of people work really hard around the clock to provide Oklahoma City citizens with good, clean, quality water, and this proves they do a good job.
Imagine that's your life. What do you do? I work hard to provide people with clean water in Oklahoma. I'm going to the Chris Benoit MySpace page here. Because you can see the editing history on these sites, and you can see when stuff was added and when it wasn't. So, all right, we'll continue to we'll load this up here. All right, let's see. So, history. And so when was he found dead?
So she was found dead at 2:30 in the afternoon.
But what day?
Well, that would have been that. What day did this happen?
I don't
remember.
Monday. Which is what? No, she was found dead on Sunday, wasn't she?
Sunday.
I don't even know now. Sunday would have been, what's today?
Thursday.
Stop.
I had an easier time coming up with questions for interviews.
What is your favorite? And he had a favorite Billy Joel song, by the way. I went with that because I suspected he wouldn't have a favorite Bible verse.
Uptown Girls, I think. Is the best.
All right, hold on. I am looking now.
My favorite is My Life.
That's
a good song.
My Life is an okay song, except people in my generation will constantly associate that as being the theme song for Bosom Buddies. That's the problem with that. What's your favorite Billy Joel song?
Uptown Girls.
Really? Well, that doesn't surprise me, I guess. I would say that my favorite Billy Joel song is probably either Pressure, which I love, or And So It Goes, which is a beautiful song.
I really do like Only the Good Die Young, too.
That's a good song. You know,
I celebrate his entire catalog.
I don't really know how to feel about Billy Joel. Billy Joel seems like one of those guys who I don't... Now, we're back to talking about music like we did with the Amy Winehouse thing yesterday. I was getting an email about that all night long. People weighing on the Amy Winehouse thing. I don't know why. She's so weirdly divisive. Billy Joel is one of those guys who has never done anything. He has never, to me, he's never wronged me in any way. He has never harmed my life. And I like a lot of his songs. I could probably sit here and sing you 24 Billy Joel songs.
Would you please?
No.
And yet,
I'll sing it medley. And yet, I feel like I can't really wholeheartedly embrace him for some reason. I feel like I can't come out and go, I love Billy Joel. Like, why can't I do that? There's some reason. There's something.
Well, he's kind of a vanilla type singer. You don't love him. He's just acceptable and doesn't irritate you very much.
Maybe that's it. There's something that holds me back from that. So, let's see. I'm looking on this Chris Benoit thing. And it won't let me go back far enough. I'm trying to find when, because you can see cached versions of Wikipedia pages, before, you can see like archived versions before they were changed. And so I'm trying to see this first mention of his wife's death, because that is unbelievably creepy. If it was posted to the Wikipedia site, because you know what that indicates, is that somebody at the WWE knew about it. You know, before anybody else knew, which then makes the whole thing about him not showing up. Because, you know, they ran that whole 3-hour tribute to him, which they say they did because they didn't know, blah, 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 blah. So, anyway.
As it turns out, they did know.
All right. I'm just reading all these Kyle Gass questions after the fact. Let's see here. Let's get some calls here. Hi, Jeff. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
I really enjoy the song Downeaster Alexa.
Downeaster Alexa is a beautiful song.
That's a great song.
For a long time, the Downeaster Alexa by Billy Joel, which is off the Stormfront album, that was my favorite Billy Joel song for quite some time. Yeah.
I actually have a live version Stormfront tour CD for promotional usage only, not for sale.
Of course.
Anyway. No, you know, this Chinese toothpaste thing?
Yes.
Makes me really think of the ancient Chinese secret ads.
The ancient Chinese secret is anthrax. Or whatever, yeah. Whatever's in this. What is in this toothpaste that'll kill you, Tim?
Antifreeze.
The ancient Chinese secret is Prestone.
Secret, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Ancient Chinese secret.
Okay, good enough.
Bye now.
Yeah.
It's 503-733-2978. Do we have to take a break? Are we caught up?
I think we're caught up. We're fine.
Okay. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, now that summer is here, your skin can look good during a heat wave. That, according to The View makeup artist Rebecca Borman.
Your skin can leak during a heat wave?
Is that what I said?
Yes.
Oh. Your skin can look good during a heat wave.
Okay.
Maybe that's what I meant to say. I don't remember. Borman says it's important to avoid bug bites this summer.
Coming from Survivor, I have such scars from mosquitoes, so definitely use an insect repellent. One of my favorites now is a new, often smooth and dry insect repellent, because that one has a cornstarch formula, so it does not have, you know, an oily residue.
Are they getting... like, these clips just end lately. There's no actual graceful finishing of the sentence. No. It's like the tape just runs out of the machine. So what you want to do...
Well, they have to do more with less, like everyone else.
Seriously, it's a time of belt tightening here at CBS, like everywhere. Are they,
They're just cutting out the end of words.
If we can just shave 10% off each word, Tim, by the end of the year, we'll have saved an entire paragraph, and we won't have to fire an AE. Are they actually getting skincare tips from Survivor contestants now?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And why shouldn't they? Really? Yeah, they're free.
Okay.
The iPhone insanity is underway. The latest of Apple's high-tech gadgets doesn't come out till Friday evening. Why, that's tomorrow night. But some gadget lovers are already lining up to be the first to have one. However, Roger Kay of Endpoint Technologies Association says, even though Apple has a good track record with product instructions, the iPhone does have some problems.
This is a first revision product, so this is the first instance of a phone that Apple's ever done. And it has a couple of shortcomings, notably, for example, its data is not as fast as you can get from other systems.
Well, all right then.
Let's see. It doesn't play MP3s as ringtones. It doesn't take video. It can't record video, which is weird because it's got a video camera in it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Doesn't do instant messaging. I'm just saying. Many things it doesn't do. All right, here's Tim Riley.
It has many positive attributes.
Sure it does. It's like a very special child. There's some good things about it.
Well, some names have risen to the top as far as those who will sit in the two vacant chairs on ABC's The View. According to TV Guide, finalists for the co-star spots include Oprah Winfrey's best friend, Gayle King, comedians Whoopi Goldberg and Sherry Shepherd.
There are only two people left on that show?
I guess so.
So shouldn't it be called The Few?
And Marie Osmond, whose name has also been in the mix, says she likes guest hosting on The View. But
I just drowned my children.
Isn't sure she wants a permanent gig.
I really enjoyed filling in for them. I think they're just in a series of looking right now. But, you know, that would be a big move for me with all of my kids and everything. So I don't know. You know, I don't mind filling in. I actually enjoy that. And I filled in for Rosie before. Rosie's a good friend.
Jesus, imagine having 8 kids. I mean, really, honestly, imagine...
But she probably hasn't met half of them.
She's told she has 8 kids. They're kept in a small honeycomb-like addition on the back of the house. That's like, what's his name? Apu on The Simpsons. Doesn't he have 8 kids? Apu, what the hell was his name? Oh. It's not Naina Najad. That's the guy from Office Space. It's Apu Nahisa Mama Petalon, I think is his name. Whatever. Him and his wife, they have 8 kids. Because that episode, 8 misbehaving, blah, 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 shit on tablets. I just can't even imagine that. The freaking 8 kids. Imagine the extent to which you could not do anything. Whatever happened with The Price is Right, by the way?
Nobody talks about that anymore.
It's just done. Well, what are they airing right now?
I don't know. Nobody's paying any attention.
But seriously, I mean, isn't Bob Barker done? Are they just airing best of prices? I mean, I guess you wouldn't know.
I guess, how would you even spot if that show was in Best Of? I mean, I guess Bob Barker's presence would be the only giveaway. Mm-hmm. There was all that discussion about Rosie, you know, she was bumping her gums about how she was going to get that show, and then now that that's not going to happen, because I guess they wouldn't give her the money she wanted, now no one talks about The Price is Right. Somebody mentioned that Drew Carey was going to get it, but that doesn't seem, that just doesn't work. My brain won't accept that, it's slotting Drew Carey into that show. So I have no idea. Did you hear that Donna Mike promo we're running, where Bob Barker was the guest? I didn't hear the show. But there's a great promo running where Donna Mike had Barb Barker as the guest, and he was talking. They were talking about, like, what about those days you just don't feel like waking up and being Bob Barker and doing The Price is Right? And he's like, I drink tequila. Like, that was, like, without missing a beat, that was his response to it. So, okay, so who's applying for The View? It's Whoopi Goldberg and who just...
Some other lady.
Why do things...
Sherry Shepherd.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Who was the first woman you mentioned?
Whoopi, Gail King.
Oh, that's Oprah's longtime friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And apparently this Sherry Shepherd is some kind of comedian.
Oh, great. The Whoopi Goldberg is one of those people who just seems to... Here's a phrase I never thought I'd say. Whoopi Goldberg is sort of like the black female Matt Peterson. And it just... No matter what she does or how those things work out, bigger and better things just keep getting handed to her. Do you know what I mean? And you know what I'm saying. And look, I don't mean any disrespect. It's a hard business to make it in. And I'm speaking now to Whoopi Goldberg and to Matt Peterson. I would never stand in anybody's way. It's a hard business. God bless you and anybody who is successful in the entertainment industry. It's a hard industry to make it in. So God love you if you can keep your head above water and you know, and whatever. I'm just saying... It's like no matter what Whoopi Goldberg does or how badly it implodes, somebody's always there to hand her something. Hand her some new project, a movie, a TV show. Yeah, I mean, just for no readily apparent reason. I still have yet to meet anybody who's a huge Whoopi Goldberg fan. I don't even really know who that fan base really is. It's like meeting somebody who really
likes... Wasn't she doing a morning show for radio nobody talks about it anymore?
She was doing where she rapped the intro. And we had the low sent that to us because he lives in Vegas, so they were carrying that show.
Is it still around?
I have no idea. Whoopi Goldberg, to me, it's sort of like meeting somebody who's a big Ann Coulter fan. Have you ever met anybody that was really a big fan of Ann? I mean, even a conservative who was like, I really love that Ann Coulter. I have never met anybody of any political persuasion who's really into Ann Coulter. I mean, the only person I ever... knew who was really into Ann Coulter was Bill Maher, and that's because for some time he was literally really into Ann Coulter. And that's it. Other than that, there's a whole lot of nothing out there. So, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Are you there seeing that car wreck?
It's trying to drove past it about 4 minutes ago.
I'm sorry, what? That. What?
I drove past it about 4 minutes ago.
Yeah, what's the deal?
It's two trucks and a car just kind of sitting there all mangled looking.
Okay. And so the, and this is, what hit what from the look of it?
It looks like a big black Ford truck ran into the back of another Ford truck, which probably bumped into the back of what I believe was a Hyundai.
All right, excellent. All right, so is traffic backed up forever and ever?
Oh, yeah. It took me about an hour and 20 minutes to get from the Fremont Bridge to Dump Park.
Oh, that's no good. That sucks. That's the one good thing about doing this show is that, man, we miss so many traffic accidents because they all seem to happen between 9 and 5 for some reason, and we miss the vast majority of those.
That's
just
why
by
we
being
asked for this shift.
Totally, exactly. All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, man.
It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
Okay, so I'm waiting for this Anderson Cooper video to load.
Cooper, all right.
When he goes after Paris Hilton.
Oh, is that when he calls her a moron? Hey, Scotty, so here's what we'll do. We'll do a few more stories, and then we will get this guy in North Dakota. I feel bad for this guy, actually. He called us for advice on Monday, and we were like, yeah, we'll get right on. And then we just forgot about it. So we're going to get some advice for this guy in North Dakota whose ex-wife has moved in with the guy's own parents. So that's awkward. So he wants advice on what to do. So we'll do that, and then later on some other things. Is it hot in here?
It's hot in here.
Yes, it's really warm.
Let's wait for the Anderson Cooper clip to load. Meanwhile, I will adjust the temperature in the studio.
All right.
No wonder. It was set at 85 degrees. Thanks so much. Thanks for that. All right. Are we just waiting for that?
I was, yes.
Okay. Well,
let's talk about... something else in the process here.
Destroy?
Well, first, once the air is cleared after the English smoking ban next week, what will the local pub smell like? Apparently, for the first time, they are banning smoking in England. It's been banned in the U.S., but apparently people still smoke like chimneys.
Like chimneys.
Like chimneys.
Let me. Are you going to have sound clips?
Yes.
Are they unintelligible? Do they have
no, none of this.
No. All right, okay. Go ahead.
No, I have no sound clips.
I thought you just said you had sound clips.
No, I lied.
All right.
Everyone in Britain, when I was there, chain smokers.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a place where it's just, and your whole diet is potatoes and fat. And it's just potatoes and fat and nicotine and beer. That's it. Or Guinness. Is Guinness beer? Is it like a malt liquor or is it just a high alcohol beer?
It's a high alcohol beer.
Yeah,
all right, okay. Hey, so Scotty, I know that we have to get to this Russ guy in North Dakota, and we will. Yes, okay, fine. I will do what you say. I am now obeying an instruction from Scotty. So Russ in North Dakota, his ex-wife has moved in, and they've been divorced for 7 years, by the way, has moved in with this guy's own parents. And he's all like, WTF, and how do I handle that? So the phone number is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Here's my question, though. You prompt something that I had put off. I wasn't going to talk about it yet, but now I must, because they're going to be banning smoking at British pubs.
Yes.
Did I blink and miss the legislature banning smoking in Oregon bars?
Yeah, it happens next year.
Okay.
Or 2009.
It's the end of 2008. Why haven't I heard anything about that? I haven't heard a single thing about that.
Those sneaky bills that they pass in the middle of the night where nobody can vote on.
But I mean, doesn't the governor have to sign it into law?
Yeah.
Okay, is he going to?
I would imagine so.
Because it was in the Willamette Week. It was like winners and losers. And, you know, that section. And then, like, losers was smokers. So, January 1st, 2009, you will no longer be able to smoke in bars and restaurants in Portland?
Mm-hmm.
Is that in Multnomah County? Is that in the state?
State.
In the state, really?
What Sherry's going to do?
Well, here's the thing. I honestly, I got into a, not a fight, but I got into a big sort of discussion with my wife about this the other night because I said, and I'm the first to admit that when I am wrong about something or when I don't listen, but you know what? I really honestly don't know what I think about that. I really don't. And I know that I'm not on the smoking wagon. You know, I think smoking is just a tedious, disgusting, expensive habit and whatever, and I'm glad I don't. And you know, I think probably, you know, in an ideal world, I think smoking probably there would be a prohibition on it just because it would just make the government's job so much easier and eliminate so many health problems. But I mean, I honestly don't know how I feel about that law. The ban, because it would ban smoking in all public restaurants and public bars. So basically, you would only be able to smoke in your home. And your car.
Or your car. California's had this for years.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I lived there when they had it. You walk into a California bar, and I will say, you walk into a bar in California, it's nice because there's no cigarette smoke. But you can't smoke on the beach, you can't smoke on the sidewalk, you can basically only smoke in your car and in your house. And I really honestly don't know how I feel about that. And I'm not saying this to be some topic-driven, like, let's do a caller segment on this. And my wife surprised me because she was all for it. She was at the beginning, which, you know, for the band, which kind of surprised me, because I thought, you know, because she's a real, the government should get off my back, and she's a real hippie at heart, and she's like a huge bleeding heart liberal, like way more liberally than I am. And so I thought that she would be opposed to the smoking ban, but she was all for it, and I guess that's like her, from her point of view, it's like it's a healthcare issue. But I honestly don't even know how I feel about it. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Kulongoski just signed that bill a couple of days ago.
Really? So it is going to become law, or it is law, but it will take effect at the end of 2008.
Yeah, that's my understanding. I know the legislature just finished their session, and it was one of the last things Kulongoski did. It was like 2 days ago.
Yeah. All right. How do you feel about it?
I'm glad, because I think smoking sucks. Well, smoking tobacco.
Yeah.
But Tim Riley rules.
That'll be the motto. Smoking sucks, but Tim Riley rules.
I have that soundbite ready.
From England?
No, Anderson Cooper going.
Well, there are no soundbites from England. I keep forgetting. All right, I'm sorry.
No, we don't have any.
Okay, Anderson Cooper.
Destroying it every time she opens that lip gloss mouth.
You ought to be in PR. She should not do one-hour interviews. In fact, she should.
Who's this?
Do more. Sound bites. It's a mistake. And she's really got to be thoughtful. I mean, if she really spent all that time reflecting, this is the result. There ain't a lot there. But the best part of the interview was
Ken Sunshine.
Congratulations,
Ken Sunshine. I mentioned 105.
She kind of forgot.
Well, let's actually play that part of the interview right now. Larry asked about, because she's been talking about finding God and the importance of religion. Let's listen.
What's your favorite Bible passage?
Echo. I don't have a favorite.
You read it every day?
In jail, I read a lot.
Can you go to Mass?
Yes.
Is she Catholic?
Mark, you...
She must be Catholic. I think only the
American
Catholics say Mass.
Oh, that's sadly, true. This is part of American culture. What is the lesson from all this?
Oh, wow. There are so many lessons. But first, let me just say that I'm a lot more forgiving and a lot more understanding.
I want to hear color a moron.
You know, Paris Hilton and her voice and all these other things, which is important, but we could make this deeper, but too often Americans lose interest.
Well, let's not pretend this is not important, but clearly people are interested. Mark, I also just want to play some of what she kept a journal while in jail. Letters from a Birmingham jail, it is not. But let's listen to some of her writing.
They say when we reach a crossroad or turning point in life, it really doesn't matter how we got there, but what we do next after we get there. Usually we arrive there by adversity. And it is then and only then that we find out who we truly are and what we're truly made of.
Doesn't this sound like... I'm sorry.
Did she... Go ahead, Mark.
Now, I was going to say, nobody's going to confuse her with Toni Morrison, but these are baby steps. You know, she's only in for 23 days. She had what we call a foxhole conversion. She was in the worst of circumstances, and she found religion, she found poetry, she found the arts. Let's just hope that she sustains it. I think it's possible.
Lisa, she also said she thought that basically she got a bum rap, that she did too much time. Did she?
Minor birds
screeching
in the background.
According to the LA Times study, which looked at thousands of people just like her who had a DUI and then violated their probation afterwards by driving, she did, in fact, serve more time. The problem is that she's a model, and she wants to be a celebrity. She wants to raise her QA. But she could say nasty things about the celebrity.
Lisa
she didn't
Bloom
take the bait.
And she's not getting these endorsements because of her talent or because of her acting ability or because of her intelligence. And she's a genius at marketing what she has. And I think
she's a genius.
The biggest factor about her success.
We've got another sequence of sound from L.A. County inmate number 9.
Yeah, she's a regular Al Reese. Yeah, whatever. Well, let's pause for a second before we do anything. Let me just two observations. A, I don't remember the thoughts just slip out of my brain. Mass. Yeah, so I don't know if she's Catholic or not, but I think that is a Catholic term. But doesn't she sound like every idiot that you had to sit next to in high school who had to read aloud some essay they wrote the night before for, like, creative writing class or history? Totally.
And she did it 2 minutes before it was due.
I read The Color Purple, and from The Color Purple, I learned that every human life has value, that even those who may seem different to you initially or who have different beliefs than your own may contribute something to your life, and that you should not dismiss people or call them dumb just because they may have a different skin color or come from a different place than you do. The Color Purple has changed my life. And then you sit down. That's exactly what she sounds like. You also know, by the way, when she talks about how she reads the Bible every day and she's going to be going, quote, to Mass, end quote, can't name a Bible verse, you know that she's one of those, she's another one of those types that says that she doesn't, well, I wouldn't call myself religious, but I am very spiritual. You know that she's used that phrase, and probably on her MySpace account.
I think she has a MySpace.
Oh, totally. You know, well, and then she was going, I don't get angry. I'm a very easy person to get along with. Wasn't she the one that was sending Lindsay Lohan a bunch of messages calling her like a lesbo skank? Paris Hilton's terms, by the way, not mine. Wasn't that her?
Yeah, I have it on my blog.
Where she was unleashing some hideous, just a bunch of vile crap against Lindsay Lohan. Not like I'm supposed to be a big Lindsay Lohan defender, but all right. Well, do we have him calling her a moron?
I'm looking for it. Right.
Saturday and Sunday for a half hour, you can have two visitors.
Ken, I never believe people have as much money as they say or are portrayed on TV to have. If her family's so rich, I'm not sure why they were allegedly out shopping an interview for $1 million, which NBC was allegedly going to pay them. Was it a mistake? If, in fact, that's what happened, was it a mistake to try to get money for a televised interview?
Yeah, if it's true. I mean, obviously, I don't know that it's true either, but sure.
It's totally true. And they were getting, and it had nothing to do with how much money they have. It's just because they knew people would line up to pay it, which they did.
Except that when you're there face to face talking to her, you do actually like her. And I think everybody here
tonight among us actually sort of did like her during this interview, except for you.
Well, I just don't understand her. I don't understand the appeal. I don't understand what she has done, but we can talk about that coming up, showing my own bias here. We've got more that you might not know about Nikki Hilton's big sister, in her own words, but also in dollars and cents.
Yeah, I was looking for the moral comment, but I couldn't find it.
Well, that's okay. All right, well, we should take a break here. This is a good time to break. We'll come back with Russ in North Dakota. Who needs your help? Rick Emerson, audience. Later on, more from Tim Riley. We may try to squeeze this top five in as well. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. You stay right there. Enough's enough thing. Wow. That was from their self-titled debut. I'm pretty sure that their second album was called, like, Bite It Hard or Bite Down Hard or something like that. All I remember is, like, some nude girl, presumably Eve in the Garden of Eden, holding an apple with, like, a snake crawling between her bosoms. That's all. It was all class. That's all. Every record album at that time had some nude woman straddling something in a really phallic way. Like that album that Great White followed, when they had a huge hit with Once Bitten, Twice Shy, and then they followed it up with Call It Rock and Roll off the Hooked record. And Hooked was, again, basically the same thing. It was a giant, fish hook being pulled out of the ocean, and then there was a nude woman straddling the fish hook. There you go. That's what every record album at that time had, a variation on that cover. I don't know what that was all about. Well, I mean, I do know what it was all about, but you know what I mean. Let's end this conversation. It's 503-733-2970. We'll talk a little bit more about the show last night. Enough's enough. I have a little funny
upset. And the text message that you sent me about that?
And the text message. I feel kind of bad about sending that text message, by the way. Do you feel I should talk about that?
Do you want me to just read it out loud?
Yeah, and then we'll get Russ in North Dakota here, who needs the advice of the people. We got some other calls, people calling like the iPhone and all of that. Don't forget, 777 coming up. It's just, what, like 9 days away, something like that. Next Saturday, not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday, July 7th, 07, 7707, our follow-up to 666 last year, which was Horns Across the Hawthorne. 7707, which is coming up next Saturday at Outlaws, featuring the one, the only, the legendary living slice of American pop culture, Vanilla Ice, live in concert along with giveaway. Every 7 minutes. Huge pile of stuff being given away upstairs. I saw the prize pile in Susan Reynolds' office. It's going to be a fantastic time. That is 777 coming up next Saturday at Outlaws. All right, so we'll get these calls here in a second. Do you want to give the... So last night at Outlaws, there was Pale Rider, Enough's Enough, who had their big hit, Fly High Michelle, and then Get High in the New Thing was their other single. Brittany Fox and the Bullet Boys. Did I mention he was wearing the same shirt he wore last time?
You did. You said he was wearing the same entire outfit.
And it's the same outfit he's wearing in his MySpace picture, just so you know.
Maybe he only has the one, Rick.
Terrible thing to say. Somebody, apparently, though, I made it, I don't know, about 30 minutes into the Bullet Boys set, something like that, and I had not brought earplugs, and I'm a huge pussy, and so I was just like, I have to get out of here for a while. So I did miss. Let's see if we can get the, see if Dave's in. See if we can get Dave Zinn. I think Zinn might be at the front desk. We'll get a little recap of this, and we'll talk to Russ. I got good school stuck in my head.
Hi.
Oh, hi. I was looking for Dave Zinn. Is he around?
No, he's on lunch.
He's on,
He'll be back in like 5 minutes.
Is that, this is Rick Emerson. Is he somewhere in the building where I could find him on the phone?
No, I don't think so. I think he's out. He has to run away.
He can't be found.
No.
He can't be located.
He likes to hide from us during the lunch hour.
All right. When Dave gets back in, would you tell me if he had a chance, if he has a chance to either come down here or just to give us a ring?
You got it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. I always hate having to say...
Who is that? She has a nice
voice. I don't know. I always hate having to say this is Rick Emerson because it sounds like a don't-you-know-who-I-am kind of a thing. But there's, like, so many people in this building that I don't take it on faith.
I think she knew who you were. Don't they call her ID? It sounded like
she recognized you. I don't assume that anybody in this building knows who we are. Because, really, I mean, come on. All right. Well, I'll tell the Chips Enough story later on when he tells the Bullet Boys. They all start with B. Bullet Boys, Bang Tango, Britney Fox. When he tells that story. Let's get to this. This is Russ in North Dakota. Hello, sir.
Hello.
I know you've been holding for a while, so I apologize for that. Thanks for calling.
Hey, no problem. I got to correct you. A Britney Fox CD was their third one. Second one was Boys in Heat.
Boys in Heat. Now, which was the one? Was it the self-titled one that had Girl School and Long Way to Love?
Yeah, which was their worst of the three albums.
Hey, it had the single. The Girl School is a fantastic single, though. You can't knock that.
It's a good song, but their third album, actually it was the second and third album are way better than the first.
I got to say, they played some songs that I'd never heard before that were actually really good. I mean, I was pretty impressed. And their lead guitarist, the guy playing lead guitar for them, was fantastic. All right, so you called us early in the week because you have this deal. You were married for how long?
6 years.
And you have been divorced now for how long?
I've been divorced for... almost 7 years.
And so your ex-wife, now, when you were married, did she seem crazy or psychotic in any way?
A little bit.
Okay.
Pretty controlling woman, yeah.
All right. So now you've been divorced for, what did you say, 6 or 7 years?
Almost 7, yeah.
So almost 7 years. And so she has now moved in with your parents.
Yes.
Now, how did you find this out?
Actually, I found it out... through my son, actually, which isn't... I don't have a kid with her.
Right.
I found it out through my son, who she still keeps in contact with, which is kind of creepy.
But, I mean, how did she say it? Was it like, and by the way, I moved in with Russ's parents? I mean, after 7 years, why would she... First of all, if she's a grown woman, why is she living with anybody's parents?
Good question.
Okay. So, I mean, does she have a job?
I believe she was working at... the bowling alley, and she got fired for some reason.
What was the reason?
I'm going to try to find that out this weekend. I have no idea.
How does one get fired from a bowling alley in North Dakota? I mean, no offense, but it does seem like there's a finite number of things to...
This is kind of a funny story. Uh-huh. To coincide with the ex-wife and the bowling alley, my current wife, we're celebrating 5 years of marriage tomorrow. We stopped in at this bowling alley, which I knew she used to work at, but I didn't realize she still worked at. We stopped in there to have pizza and breadsticks and just hang out, whatever, drink some beers. And we were there for maybe an hour. And all of a sudden, somebody comes and taps us on the shoulder and said, we're going to have to ask you folks to leave. And I'm thinking to myself, why? I'm not causing any trouble. I'm just sitting here drinking. Well, you know the situation. We're just going to have to ask you to leave. I'm like... okay, whatever. Well, then we call the bowling establishment to say, you know, we want to talk to the manager. Well, we get hung up on.
And so this is it your ex-wife who's, like, engineered the whole thing to get you kicked out?
My ex-wife was managing the place, which I didn't realize at the time.
She's, okay, we can cut right to the chase here. She's clearly either crazy or just really bitchy or you're just really hard to get along with or quite possibly some combination of the above three.
Exactly. But then, anyway, kicked out. We called there several times to talk to the manager we got hung up on. Later in the evening, about midnight, the police department calls my wife's cell phone saying, why are you harassing this woman? And I'm like, what are you talking about? We never talked to anybody.
Well,
we got pulled up on harassment charges for eating breadsticks.
So let me ask you this. So when did she move in? When did it transpire that your ex-wife moved in with your parents?
I just found out about it last weekend, so I'm sure she's probably been there two, 3 weeks.
Have you talked to her since then?
No, I haven't talked to her in 5 years.
Have you talked to your parents since you found out that your ex-wife moved in with them? And
yes.
What did you ask them? Like, why did your parents agree to this?
I have no idea.
But I mean, did you ask them?
Well, basically, she supposedly got fired and she was down on her luck and she wanted to move away and start a new life. So my mom figured, well, I got room in the basement. Why don't you come live here?
Is this in Fargo or is this in another
state? Actually, she moved down to Kansas City, four states away.
But I mean, where do your parents... So it's in Kansas City, Missouri is where your parents live. All right.
Yep.
So she wanted to get out of North Dakota, and the only place she could find in the entire continental United States is with your parents in Kansas City, Missouri.
Exactly.
Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely not.
Does it sound a little bit now, does she have trouble holding a job, like typically?
No. Not that I remember, no.
She on any medication of any kind?
I have no idea.
Okay. I mean, I guess in your experience with her, was she on a medication?
No.
So it does sound to me, I mean, does she have a drug problem?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right. So if she doesn't have a drug problem and she's not flat out crazy, it probably sounds like she's just doing this to screw with you.
Yeah, but why would she be screwing with me 5 years later?
Well,
I said, I haven't talked to a woman in at least 4 years.
Well, let me just...
Obviously, if she's affected enough, like if she's the manager, she still has some kind of emotional tie there. She needs to have you removed.
Seriously, if she was having you kicked out of a bowling alley, it seems perhaps one of you has...
The thing about this bowling alley, there were three bars in the place.
Here's the thing.
If I knew she was working there and I was there to try to F with her or whatever, I would have went to the bar... I would have scoped out all the bars to see if she was working.
Well, here's the thing. It sounds like one of you has moved on from this and one of you has not.
Obviously.
And that usually is the situation with these relationships, and we have any number of these, and I'm not just talking about people in the studio, any number of people that we know where one person moves on from the relationship breakup a little bit faster than the other person does. And the person who doesn't move on, suddenly they're drinking where you drink. Suddenly they're hanging out where you hang out. Suddenly... they're spending a lot more time with your friends than maybe they did when you were actually dating. All because they just want to hang out and be creepy. So there's a woman who works upstairs from us, and she broke up with a guy. He lives like 12 miles away from her, yet somehow he has started drinking at the bar a block away from her house, which is where she typically drinks. And so she'll go into to unwind, get a beer, get a whatever, and suddenly this guy who she dumped, who lives 12 miles away, in there drinking all the time. So that sounds like a little bit of that happening right here. So you want to just ask your parents, I mean, did you ask your parents why? And they just said, well, she was down on her luck?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, it doesn't really sound like, I mean, unless you have a terrible relationship with your parents to begin with, it doesn't really sound like you can tell your parents to kick her out.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, it's starting to get to that point. I mean,
is it going to keep you from visiting your parents?
Well, obviously. I'm not going to go down there with... I mean, obviously, my wife will not go with me down there.
Did you tell your parents that? Did you tell your parents, like I'm not going to come visit you as long as
I am? I plan on doing that tomorrow. They're actually up in that neck of the woods.
Well, do me a favor. I don't really have an answer for you at this time because I don't really... It seems like a big tangle ball of yarn. So do us a favor. I want to keep kind of track of how this unfolds. So do us a favor. I'm going to put you on hold, have you talk to Scotty. Let us know... what happens when you tell your parents that you're not going to come see them until she's gone?
Sure, I can do that.
All right, so I'm going to put you back on hold. Scotty Ross is on hold there. Make sure you got his information. He's going to tell his parents, I guess he said either tonight or tomorrow, that he's not going to go see them until the ex-wife is no longer living there. So Tate, we'll find out a time to check in with him tomorrow, and we'll keep track of how this unfolds. All right, so there you go. Let's see. Philip, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hello, Rick.
What's up, brother?
Last night I was watching The Daily Show, Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Moore was on there and said that he should have been on Larry King last night, but he got bumped by Paris.
They bumped him for Paris Hilton.
He's going to be on Friday, right?
Yes, Sarah said he's going to be on Friday.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, he is.
So
but he was supposed to be on last night.
Yeah, well, we're talking to Jim Roop from CNN about that, and it seems pretty obvious that the Hilton family put all kinds of strictures on this interview, like it had to be Wednesday, it had to be pre-taped, they weren't allowed to take any phone calls. Yeah, I think they put their foot down, and CNN bent to their every whim. It probably serves Michael Moore just as well, because the movie opens on Friday, but it is indicative of what is important to America that they kicked Michael Moore off for Paris Hilton.
I just feel the guy, got a deal.
May I ask where you're originally from, sir?
I'm from England.
You're from,
I'm the guy that sent you the newspapers the other week.
Oh, with the sport newspaper the hot girl on the front. Now, is that a sports magazine like Sports Illustrated or the Sporting News here in America?
No, it's just a regular newspaper that came out like 20 years ago, and it was a Sunday paper. And then it was did so well that they put it out in the week as well.
Well, I do have to say, as much as they say that Americans use sex to sell everything, I do admire the way, though, that just a regular run-of-the-mill newspaper, a general interest newspaper, can boost its circulation just by putting a big-boobed woman on the front cover in England. That really is an admirable trait that your country has, sir.
Well, there's plenty of them, let me tell you.
It is true.
The Sunday paper usually has, instead of a page three, it's usually the centerfold.
Hold on just one second. I gotta look through my news file. Hold on. All right. So, Tim isn't in here, but... Hold on. Ah, my headphones are caught.
You all right there, Chief?
Having a bit of a day. All right. Now, Tim Riley is not in here at the moment, because you are... What part of England are you from, sir?
I'm from Nottinghamshire, Sheffield, Yorkshire. Before I came to this town, I lived in the town of Sheffield, which is where they filmed the movie The Full Monty.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Is it that depressing in real life?
Depressing?
It looks like a terrible, depressing place in that movie. It just looks like a place where everybody is unemployed and they have to eat rats.
Well, honestly, Sheffield is a very uptown, man. It's one of England's biggest towns.
Really?
Very exciting. Lots of going on.
I remember watching, it's a different place, obviously, but I remember watching The Commitments, and, like, they made North Dublin look like a place where it's like, it just looked like the ninth circle of hell. It just seemed like the worst place on earth. So.
Yeah.
I feel bad, in a way, for people from England, because England is always depicted as one of two things. Just a bunch of, like, Carnaby Street sex fiends, or just a place where everyone is broke and they have to eat wood for dinner, you know?
Well, let me tell you, people in England aren't broke. That's for darn sure, man. Everybody gets 4 weeks vacation, everybody takes care of with the health system, they are not complaining at all.
Well, that's just not right, all that vacation and health care. That's just wrong.
I was actually born real close to Sherwood Forest. I was born 8 miles away from Sherwood Forest, and so was my wife.
Now, let me ask you this. Now, because you are from Britain, so therefore being a stereotypical American, I will ask you to listen along as I read the story. Dateline London. The Spice Girls announced Thursday that they've agreed to reunite for 11 concerts around the world in December and January. It'll be the first group's concert since they broke up in 2001, and the first with all five original members since Jerry Ginger Spice Hallowell quit to pursue a solo career in 1998. They're going to play in L.A., Vegas, New York, London, Cologne, Madrid, Beijing, Hong Kong, Sydney, Cape Town, and Buenos Aires. Blah, 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 blah. And so forth. So, are the Spice Girls still a big deal? In other words, is this big news, or is this one of those things that nobody in that country cares about?
You know what? I've lived here for 30 years. I'm not really sure. I mean, pop music is still very big in England. You know, the typical 60s, 70s type of stuff. You know, everybody's very in tune with the music of today, at least the British music.
It just seems like there's a much wider, even though, again, you've looked at, in the States for, what you said, 30 years now, it seems like in Britain there's a much bigger acceptance of just what we in America would consider disposable pop music. That's why guys like George Michael come out of Britain, because here I don't think anybody would really take him seriously if he was an American artist, but I don't want to say the bar is lower, but it does seem like pop music or bubblegum music or music that is very sort of simplistic and sort of lightweight is treated as a more of a legitimate art form in Britain than it is here.
Yeah, yeah. Very true.
All right.
They're just really in tune with what's big today, you know?
I don't even remember what you called about. Oh, it was about Michael Moore. All right.
Oh, Michael Moore. Good guy.
All right. Excellent. Philip, thank you for calling. You call us anytime, sir.
Long-time listener, man. I've been listening since way back when he was national.
God bless you, my friend. You call us anytime that the urge strikes you, sir.
No problem.
Thank you. There you go. All right, that's Philip. All right. We come back. We'll talk to Ken. We'll get Tim Riley at the bottom of the hour with more news. What else? Kyle Gass's favorite Billy Joel song. Have you seen the Movin' Out musical, the Billy Joel musical?
No, I've always wanted to.
I'm kind of tempted to see that. I love Billy Joel's music, I just don't love him, and I don't know why.
He'd be an ass, kind of.
He does seem kind of like a dick, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to give it up to him. He made a pretty gruesome suicide attempt. He drank a bottle of furniture polish. That's pretty innovative. You really got to, I mean, You get one mouthful of that, you're going to pass out. The other guy made it. He drank an entire bottle. And it seems such a waste of time. It's a great song. He's sort of like a New York Phil Collins. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't like Phil Collins. Phil Collins writes the same sort of songs that...
Well, how come I love Billy Joel but hate Phil Collins?
See, that's what I'm saying. I don't have any reason to hate Phil Collins. He's done a bunch of songs that I like. Through the Studio, Take Me Home, In the Air Tonight, I Wish It Would Rain Down, Another Day in Paradise.
I like that song.
God, what else?
I think you've named enough
Phil Collins. A lot of the stuff he did with Genesis. Mama, yes, thank you. Am I embarrassing myself?
I just can't believe you're disappointed that you've named 12 off the top of your head and that just wasn't enough Phil Collins.
I'm sorry. Something happened on the way to heaven?
We have to break.
Back after this. Because of the Catholic Girls line?
It's just like a really like mean song. Like just trying to convince this girl to sleep with him.
I know we've had this discussion on the air before, but I never realized that until you pointed it out.
It's like you might as well not be good or else you're going to die, so sleep with me.
I mean, I guess I sort of knew he was trying to get with the girl because that's what all songs, every song by a guy to a girl is about that. So I guess I knew that on some level. But see, I never took it that way. I never took it as the good die young, meaning if you don't put out, God will kill you, which I guess is really what he's saying here, which does seem unnecessarily brusque. But I never took this song that way. I took it as being a much more sweet song than this. I thought the point of the song was. I thought he was saying that it does seem to be the damnable irony of life that the people you love always go fast and a-holes just sort of stick around forever. But the like great people always seem to die too young, so you gotta live while you're alive. See, I always looked at it as being a much more charming song than that. Like he was saying, you know, the great people always seem to die young, so you got to live now. Don't wait. You got to do it now before the Reaper comes for you.
No, it's like you might as well sleep with me because you're going to lose your virginity anyway at some point. So you might as well do it now.
You're going to give it up to Tony down the block if you don't give it to me.
All my favorite lines coming up. Quite enough information.
This is like an honorary Paul Simon song. I know that he's from Brooklyn or New York or some tough place. It's maybe that he never sounds that way. He sounds like he's faking being a New York street kid, even though I guess he really was. I guess he's a tough, right? He's a hoodlum? Or he was?
I guess so.
Where's he from? Is he from?
We'll never find out for sure.
He's from the Bronx or some hideous place.
Are you just basing this on the fact of the Uptown Girl song?
No, but I mean, as Tim pointed out, now I don't know, I guess. Well, whatever. All right, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Only 10 people out of like 100 something to work at the Portland Del Monte plant who got caught in the immigration thing there have been charged with possession fraudulent immigration papers or committing Social Security fraud. Del Monte, the funny thing is, they're being punished, but where's the punishment here for Del Monte? I'm looking. Punishment for Del Monte?
I'm sure that the Del Monte Corporation will be punishing all their managers right away.
Yeah.
I'm sure that all the fat white men who sat around a table and tacitly approved hiring illegal aliens, I'm sure they'll get theirs any moment now.
Well, they're trying to get that fence built as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah,
to save them from themselves.
All print. Yeah, I'm sure they're right on it.
So that's that's kind of too bad now.
Don't be a hater, Tim.
Kohl's has pulled some items from the clothing line named after model actress Daisy Fuentes based on allegations against the Guatemalan factory where the items are made. The National Labor Committee says the Korean-owned factory in a rural part of Guatemala is a sweatshop and forces employees to work overtime without pay, doesn't provide adequate drinking water, restroom facilities, it doesn't provide health care or pensions.
Now, let me understand this. So this is clothing being... So this is a sweatshop in Guatemala, but it's owned by Koreans?
Yeah.
Well, who says cultures can't work together, Tim?
Right.
Look at that.
That is true.
Hand in hand is what that is.
Girl power is back. The Spice Girls, Scary, Baby, Ginger, Sporty, and Poosh have announced they're reuniting for
what?
Poosh? P-O-S-H. They're reuniting for a world tour. The announcement on their website says, quote, "Hey, everybody, we're back. Can you believe it?" Unquote. The website also provides a link for fans to purchase tickets in 11 cities around the world starting December 7th in Los Angeles.
If I happen to be in Vegas, which I probably won't, but if I were to Vegas December 8th, I might almost go see that. I might almost. If I was in Vegas to begin with, like if I was going to be there, I think I might actually pay to see the Spice Girls. I saw them once, although I didn't pay. I might actually, I'm looking at this photograph of them, though. Just left to right. Let's see. Victoria Beckham. Still way too skinny and suddenly blonde and way too tan in this. Melanie Chisholm, how you pronounce that, Sporty? She's put on a little weight and her hair's really long and she looks less,
Well, the years haven't been kind, have they?
No, I was going to say she looks better. I was going to say she looks less like some weird aerobics ad than she used to. I mean, I'm not, you know.
Who's 40?
Yeah, I never thought that everybody was like, well, she looks like a lesbian. And I never really saw that except that she always seemed to look like she stepped right out of like an Asics shoes commercial.
Mm-hmm.
She looks fine here. Baby Spice. Baby Spice actually looks really good. She looks really...
More mature?
Yes. She's a toddler Spice now. She looks really good here. She looks very, very beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then Scary Spice, Melanie Brown, does not look like somebody who just had a kid. Her hair is totally different, though. Her hair is long and straight. I don't know if it's real or if extensions or whatever. Her hair is long and straight, very shiny. You know the one who looks the most different? Is Jerry Halliwell, Ginger. She's got some hippie outfit on. She's got some weird shapeless, like, flower sack of a dress and, like, clogs. That's just not right. I don't know, maybe underneath there it's all kinds of bad, but, I mean, it doesn't... She was the hottest of all of them. I don't know why she's covering all that up. Like, Charlotte Church, who was all hot, then it's like some sort of weird, unpleasant, fleshy landslide happened. Mm. That never goes back. You know what I'm talking about. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Exclusive! The Britney K-Fed divorce is not over. K-Fed will not sign the final property settlement agreement and is saying before he does, he wants proof that Britney can handle joint custody. So, that's that. That's all we know. Oh, that Benoit's doctor, that wrestler?
Yes.
The personal physician that Chris Benoit saw just hours before the wrestler killed his wife and son?
Has been arrested.
Once had his medical license suspended for reasons relating to competence or character.
Fantastic.
Back in 2001, the Georgia State Medical Board suspended Phil C. Austin to practice medicine for 3 months and fined him $500. So that's that.
All right.
That's all I got.
You sounded like, you know, you sounded like just now one of those Bowery boys, like some guy in a bar. That's all I got. You know, I used to have a wife, family, the whole nine yards. Now, here I am, a nothing, a nobody, drinking my... Have you seen that, you just that great gruff... Have you seen... Do you ever watch Night Gallery, when Night Gallery was on?
Maybe many, many years ago.
Night Gallery was the program that Rod Serling did as a follow-up to The Twilight Zone. It was like The Twilight Zone, but it was in color.
Oh.
Do you know there's an episode called, and I've tried to find it for so long just for the introduction, there was an episode called They're Tearing Down Tim Riley's Bar. And it was about a guy, as so many of Rod Serling's characters were these overworked Madison Avenue advertising executive types, and it was about a guy who spent all of his free time at this bar. And they go to demolish the bar, and the whole episode is how the guy doesn't know what to do with his life because they're tearing down this bar where he spends his whole life. And the episode is called They're Tearing Down Tim Riley's Bar. And I'm pretty sure that the narration from Rod Serling is a little, this is a man named Tim Riley. And I feel like if I could find Rod Serling talking about a guy named Tim Riley, the whole universe would fold into itself. It's like It's like when I got to meet Aaron Sorkin, who I really am just a shameless clone of, or one of his characters. I'm a clone of one of his characters in so many ways. And Joni was like, you know, I can't believe the universe didn't, explode and, like, reduce itself to a singularity when I met Aaron Sorkin. If I can get a tape of Rod Serling talking about blah, 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 Tim Riley, like, I feel like the whole, like, all of the universe might suddenly shimmer and then just come apart at the seams and we might all vanish. So I'm looking for that, though, just so you know. I'm hoping to find it.
I hope you do.
We'll work into some of our exciting imaging. Are you finished for now, sir?
Oh, one more. Fake $50 bills have been circulating in Salem, and police are warning business owners to be extra vigilant in checking large bills coming into the cash register. So,
keep an eye out for us. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, greatest newsman in the world, back at 4, 5, 6, and 7, top of the air all the way through.
Oh, that's true.
Like us. Speaking of Tim Riley, this is our friend John, who played Tim Riley for a day with Billy Joel information. Hello, sir.
Hello there. Yeah. Toddler Spice, you know, I almost feel like I expect Chris Hansen to come pull me over on the side of the road for child porn, just when you said that
she
word.
She looks, Toddler Spice, she does look really good, Baby Spice, whatever her name is, Emma Bunton, because I saw her from a distance of about 10 feet away when I was at a Daily Show taping. It was her and Posh, and she looked hideous. Baby Spice, no, they just look so bony and fake tan and terrible. She looks really good here, though. So,
talk about bony. Did you see a thing in the paper the other day about clavicles coming out? I mean, I'm not exactly into real scrawny people, but with those big old clavicle bones jamming out of people's...
I thought a clavicle was an instrument. I thought that's the thing that Stevie Wonder played on it.
No, that's your collarbone. You know when you got them big gigrotus bones sticking out of the front of your chest?
Yeah, no, if I can... Yeah, no, seriously. If I can see your ribcage, it's time to put your clothes on and leave.
There you go. Anyhow, the reason I called, other than those two subjects, Billy Joel, I have heard... your dear friend Bill O'Reilly say that he grew up with Billy Joel in Levittown, Pennsylvania.
Well, that would explain why he's always so. That would explain why. Now, is Levittown a bad place?
It was kind of just your working blue collar, lower.
Tim is fully shaking his head. Tim just as though he smelled something foul. Well, Tim, Levittown.
It was a tennis court of its day,
so it was not like a beaten down sort of area. It was very suburban.
Yeah, the original suburb, right? It was the original suburb
where all the houses looked the same. They were prefabricated. Yeah. They all had the same blueprint, same floor plan.
Right.
All
right.
So, because it was a government, it was built by the government, wasn't it?
No, it was private.
Really? Oh, by blah, 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 Levitt.
Mr. Levitt.
A guy named Levitt. I think I have an entry on this in my Encyclopedia of Pop Culture. All right.
Well,
so on the mean streets of Levittown.
The mean streets of Levittown. But Bill O'Reilly said that he was always a bit of a hood. You know, sometimes you just want to punch that guy in the face.
Bill O'Reilly was a bit of a hood?
No, that Billy Joel was a bit of a hood, and so a bit of a hood.
Can you be a hood in Levittown? That's what explains my thing with Billy Joel, then, that he never sounds convincing when he tries to be a tough. He tries to sing so many of his songs like he's sort of a greaser, like a ne'er-do-well, you know, and like some dead-end kid. But maybe that's why it's never convincing, because he's from Levittown.
He's the lord of 82nd Street, you know. It's like, okay, well, you've conquered something.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right.
Maybe he left his trash cans out an extra day.
his lawn was an eighth of an inch too high. All right. Let's see if we can find our good friend Dave Zinn.
Is this the Rick? Emerson, Rick
yes.
Emerson show.
Thank
Eric,
you. Thanks so much. He was trying. Dave came by my office yesterday. Was trying to make me feel better about the Bullet Boys guy calling me Eric. He's like, maybe he was pausing to think, like Eric. Yeah. So it was just not the case. All right, Dave's in. How did you enjoy sitting on that couch in that roped off area above all the commoners?
I felt like a minor celebrity.
It was really cool. I was really uncomfortable about that, but you had no problem. Dave just jumped right up on that.
No. When you're hanging out with the Rick Emerson, you know.
Thank you. So I left too soon to see this business with the Bullet Boys guy getting a glass of beer thrown at his head.
Yes, he did.
So would you please to explain the scenario as it played out with the glass of beer being thrown at Mark Turian for the Bullet Boys?
All right. Well, they were like mid-set, maybe into their... Like, object, you know, which looked like a cup. I thought it was coming from the balcony.
Right.
But it kind of bounced off Mark Turian and spilled beer on his shirt, you know, the red and black striped shirt that he wears every day. And then it, like, deflected off into the guitarist to his right.
Oh, so they hit it. They banked it. They hit two people.
They banked it. And they finished the song, but after the song, he was, like, you could tell he was upset. Mark Turian, and he was just like saying, where's the guy that threw the beer at me? It smells like cheap beer. Where is he? and everybody was pointing to the door because they had thrown him out by then.
Oh, I see, this is the difference between... They totally snitched. They totally... But that guy right there! All right. So did they... So he did he do some huge rant? Or because when we saw him with L.A. Guns... Maybe he has to rant about something every show, like Axl Rose, because Sarah and I saw him, and he did some big rant about his ex-wife. But did he go on a tear about it?
Just for like a moment, and you could tell he was visibly upset, and then they automatically launched into Smooth Up Enya,
yeah.
which is their best, that you know, best it. Single.
Yeah.
And they played that, and then they left the stage, you know. Kind of like that was the end of the show, and not many people were... left standing at that point.
Well, yeah, because you've heard the you've heard the single. That's probably everybody probably figures that's the end of the night. So did they do an encore?
You know, a couple minutes passed, and then one of the stagehands came out and kind of was like, "Who wants to hear two more from the Bullet Boys? We need some love." You know, he was encouraging people to clap or to scream or whatever.
Yes.
And I think the crowd was tired by then.
Well, it'd been a long night. It was like four bands, so.
Yeah, they did come back out, and Mark Torian sang a song with his guitar and like kind of a ballad song, and he invited Chip Zanoff to come out to sing with him.
Sarah, do we have a couple minutes for the break?
No, we should... We pretty much got to get to break.
All right, well...
We won't have any time when we come back.
Well, we won't?
We will.
Okay.
If we break,
I might call you back here in a few, and we'll talk about the pimpology of Chip Zanoff, sir.
All right.
Thank you, Dave Zanoff.
Thank you, Eric.
All right.
Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Like us at 3. Like us 101 today, 5 o'clock. Don and Mike at 7. You stay right there. We return after this. Of the week because I failed to do it today. Oh, Chip's enough. Oh, we only have like 30 seconds, right? That sucks.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell the story. It'll be old by then, but it's old now. We'll tell the story about Chip's enough tomorrow. All right, Lycus coming up next. Lycus 101 tonight, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Don and Mike at 7, John and Jeff at 11, Stephanie Miller. Tomorrow, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m., Dennis Miller, 8 to 11. We're back at 11 o'clock tomorrow when we will have reviews of Michael Moore's Sicko and something else. Oh, I believe we'll have a review of the new Harry Potter film tomorrow as well. I believe.
Oh, who went?
Well, we've got, I don't know, but we've got, let's see, because it's tonight. It's actually, it wasn't last night.
Oh, okay,
tonight.
I thought it was last night.
I got an email that said, hey, my son just called me. Tickets are already gone for tonight's Harry Potter, 7 hours in advance. That was at noon. But we'll find out, because I think somebody went. Hey, Rick, Billy Joel was in an episode of American Chopper. He was a total dick. You could tell the biker guys just wanted to pound his piano-playing ass. All right. And finally, Rick, Camus is full of people with misshapen heads. Thought you should know. Thank you, sir. We're going to thank CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, who called us even though he was not scheduled to today. And we want to thank Lisa Goddard, who called us even though she was not told to today. We also want to, well, that's it, I guess. And Dave.
Thank Kyle Gass.
And thank Kyle Gass. Oh, thank Kyle Gass, man. Thanks, man. That was easy. Moving out. Rick Emerson, show producer today and every day with the lovely and talented Sarah X Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. The newsroom, Tim Riley. The gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. The PA is Scotty J. See y'all tomorrow. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Try to help the retarded and watch out for snakes. Bye now.